pitfalls for both of them have to do with this format. Mitt Romney's biggest hurdle to the presidency is this issue of relating to the average Joe or Jane. Well, Joe and Jane is asking questions. He pulls that off. He breaks through this one big barrier, and this structural shift in the race that we're seeing state by state could continue and give him great advantages.
Another battleground state has evened up. The latest poll today from New Hampshire shows among likely voters it's 47-47%. This is NBC News Radio. Senator George McGovern has been moved to hospice in his home state of North Dakota. The family isn't saying much about his illness, but say the end is near. McGovern is 90. There will be a funeral service for Senator Arlen Specter today in Philadelphia. He died this weekend after losing his battle with cancer. Cuba is making a major policy change for its own citizens. It will no longer require an exit visa for people to leave Cuba, only a passport and a visa from the country they are visiting. It is just the latest major reform under leadership of Raul Castro. Today's the anniversary of the start of the Cuban Missile Crisis. It was October 16, 1962, when President Kennedy was briefed on the presence of Russian nuclear missiles on the island. And a federal judge has thrown out a lawsuit filed by two black men who claimed The Bachelor and The Bachelorette discriminate against contestants of color. Casting, the court said, is protected by the First Amendment. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Nerlman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Nerlman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
When I heard Wells Fargo was giving their customers a free credit score, I figured I'd stop in.
It's part of our limited-time promotion. We'll give you a personal access code so you can obtain a free credit score and complimentary credit report. We can also talk about your credit score and how it impacts you.
Good to know.
Stop into Wells Fargo from now until November 15, 2012, and ask a banker about how to get your personal access code to obtain a free credit score and complimentary credit report. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. See a banker for specific promotion details.
This morning we get a report economists hope is not too hot. Retail inflation. Friday we found out producer prices, what businesses pay for their goods and services, increased 1.1% last month, thanks mainly to rising fuel costs. At issue this morning with the Consumer Price Index is whether businesses are trying to pass their higher costs onto us. We find out an hour before Wall Street's opening bell. It soon could cost a little more to fly, no matter your airline. Last Friday, Southwest Airlines hiked domestic fares $10 round trip. An industry researcher, Fair Compare, tells the New York Times the rest of the business likely will match the move. If so, it would be the seventh fare hike to become permanent this year. Wall Street futures are higher, but not in the way we see markets elsewhere in the world. Asian and European markets are showing modest rally, but right now S&P futures are gaining just 1 point. NASDAQ futures up 5. Dow futures tacking on 11, and early trades oil futures are down a dime a barrel. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Live to 97, CNN's Candy Crowley moderates the presidential town hall debate.
You've got two presidential candidates and such an important decision for voters to make.
After the first game-changing presidential debate, it's the people's turn to ask the questions. And one moment could change the course of the election.
You never know until it happens. It's what makes the debates great.
Barack Obama, Mitt Romney, CNN's Candy Crowley moderates the presidential town hall debate. Live starting at 7 Eastern tonight on CNN.
Trains are the most cost-efficient way to move goods to market. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Do you suffer from pain like joint pain, muscle pain, back pain, or painful arthritis? Then you must listen to this important message. Nearly half of all Americans suffer from some kind of pain due to chronic inflammation. Anetoblock is a breakthrough supplement scientifically proven to quickly and effectively reduce inflammation and get rid of pain. Anetoblock is so effective in preventing excessive inflammation and reducing the pain, we guarantee you'll feel a significant difference in just a few days. Best of all, Anetoblock is now available to try for free. That's right. Call 800-603-1520 now and get out of pain absolutely free. Anetoblock is now looking for real-life testimonials for anyone who has back pain, muscle pain, or painful arthritis. Call 800-603-1520 to get your free supply and get out of pain today. Just call 800-603-1520 for details. Call today, 800-603-1520. That's 800-603-1520. Again, 800-603-1520.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and/or Clear Channel Radio.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you. Then they say you're mad. Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome indeed. It is Tuesday morning, the 16th day of October 2012, and I am Tony Trupiano. A pleasure to be with you this and every morning that we are here. And we've got a great show for you. We're going to kind of take you on a journey. We're going to meander all over the place, not politics 24/7 today. We've got some other interesting issues to explore. Of course, we will get my take, my preview of tonight's town hall style debate, a little controversy surrounding that, which we'll talk about in just a bit. And of course, we have time for your calls. We have time for all kinds of wonderful things. And so we're going to get it going here very soon. Of course, the Tigers play tonight. Justin Verlander on the mound. Anthony and I will get to that in just a few moments as well. But what a day, what a day. We've got a lot of great stuff. Hope that you are going to enjoy what should be a fairly nice day today, weather-wise, lots going on. So why don't we go ahead and just get this thing started? Folks, we can't get started until we do this.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Sustainable. Our first word today is sustainable. Why? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about energy today. Certainly, we're going to talk about Proposition 3, 25 by 2025. But sustainable, to sustain something, to support it, to continue to see growth, to sustain something, to have the energy, to have the vision, to have a plan. Oh, no, not one of those. To have goals, to set them, to achieve them, and then to propel yourself to the next level. But in order to do all that, you have to be able to sustain an effort. Ladies and gentlemen, the one plague, the one pox on all our houses is our lack of sustainability. It is clear, even as we take a look today at the one-year anniversary of Occupy Detroit, although some of you think they've disappeared, you would be so wrong. They have been able to sustain the original effort. Oh, so it's not as public and it's not as loud and it's not as crazy perhaps as it once was, but that doesn't mean it's not there. You know, to sustain something really takes a great deal of energy, effort, planning, and support. And of course, the one thing we are all good at, those of us that consider ourselves to be activists, is sustainability. Sustainability is critical to making sure that whatever it is we're focusing on not only gets achieved, but then, of course, is permanent, not unflexible, permanent, and then we build on that. So to sustain something is really a very Herculean measure. You don't understand, I think, if you've not really trying to get something off the ground, to keep it going, to find momentum. That's all about sustainability. It's about being able to renew the energy and resources that it takes to put into something. But, oh, ho, 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 Let's be careful that we don't lose sight of the goal ever, to sustain something that is worthy of our energies and efforts. Means we need to have a plan. Without that plan, you are destined to fail. And today's first word is sustainable.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Calvin at the five. Makes the catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off of second. The 1-0. Swinging a fly ball. Left field. It's deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings.
And they try Red Wings.
And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
And welcome back, everybody. Anthony, a good morning to you, sir. It is going to be an exciting day, my young man.
Hopefully it's going to be a great morning tomorrow with Verlander on the mound.
Well, you're right. Hopefully it will be. Of course, what we're talking about is Game 3 of the American League Championship Series, where Detroit leads 2-0. Coming home, Justin Verlander, of course, on the mound tonight. That doesn't guarantee anything, but perhaps really great competition. And you've got to wonder, at some level, will one of these teams, Anthony, finally offensively break it open? What's happening in New York, or to New York, really doesn't make any sense. Offensively, they've got amazing amount of talent. They're just not hitting, and I'm as flummoxed as anybody.
Yeah, if you look at both teams, you'd think they'd be putting up a lot more offensive numbers when really the pitching's been the story. And really the bullpens have been the story more than the starting pitching.
Well, yeah, and interestingly for the Yankees, it has been really fairly good bullpen for Detroit. You take away Valverde, and we've had some good pitching out of the bullpen, but you throw Valverde back in there. And the question tonight is, if Justin Verlander can give you 7 or 8, who do you put in there in the ninth? And I'm not going to be surprised if Jose Valverde trots out there, Anthony.
Oh, really? I would be extremely surprised if he put him out there again. I'm expecting somebody like Dotel to be our new closer.
Well, he does have some closing experience, so there's no question that he can do it. And listen, at the end of the day, it's just pitching, right? Whether you're the closer or not, as long as you can throw the ball over the plate and you can show a little creativity, which is where Valverde has been an issue, he's lost his creativity, with the exception of his fastball, which is what's gotten him in trouble. He's not throwing his slider anymore. I don't know, and when Leland was asked yesterday if Valverde would pitch on during the homestand, he said, well, we'll have to wait. This is exactly what he said. We'll have to wait to see how he feels. Don't know what that meant.
Yeah, whatever that means.
Well, it's Jim Leland, so he doesn't explain himself. Let me ask you a question before we move on to a couple other issues. Jim Leland is on the last year of his contract. To our knowledge, they have not attempted to re-sign him for next year. Do you believe at some level that he needs to win the World Series to come back?
The World Series, no. I mean, if he makes it there, I think he's for sure coming back. But, still, even at this point, 2 straight ALCSs. The guy, I think, has deserved a contract.
Sure.
There would have to be some other reason not to bring him back.
Right, and that's I guess I'm a little confused why they haven't.
Who's a better replacement? I don't know.
I don't either. I know a lot of fans have a real issue with Jim Leland. I don't. I think he's a terrific manager. I appreciate what he does. Yes, there are times but that's going to be true for any manager where you go, what the hell did he do that for?
Exactly.
So I just don't see them replacing. Listen, potentially really bad news, not just for the Detroit Lions, but for a young man that may not get back on track. In this morning's paper, Anthony, as we found out late in the day yesterday, the doctors have not cleared Javid Blass to come back to play, and it looks like his career may just be over.
Wow, this is breaking news to me.
Oh, okay.
I'm in a little shock right now.
The doctors would not clear him to play. And it looks like now they're in a situation where they're going to have to figure out, can he come back? Can he legitimately come back? He hasn't played in a year.
Wow, the Monday night game last year where he got hurt?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and maybe not quite a year, but the point is he literally hasn't played in almost a complete season. And I don't know what the testing is for concussions. I have no idea. I don't know what they do or how they figure this out. But if they're not comfortable putting him back out there now, what will it take is the question. I can't fathom that whatever needs to heal hasn't healed at this point. And my, you know, I'll be honest with you, as much as I love the guy as a running back, I want him to be safe. I want him to be healthy.
Right. It sucks to not being able to get a guy back that was such a game changer. But yes, obviously the health concern is the number
one. No, not nearly the same impact. But I felt that way about Zach Follett, who got hurt and had a very, very short career. You know, he had a lot of potential, a lot of upside to him. But at some point, you've got to make the decision for your health to walk away from the game. And that just may be what happens with Jahvid Best. You and I were talking yesterday afternoon, and I said something along the lines of, well, you know, they've got a roster spot that they're, you know, holding open for this guy. Well, they're not literally holding it open, but they'd have to cut somebody to put him in. Now they don't need to make that decision. I don't know. I feel bad for the guy. I feel bad for the Detroit Lions because he is a good ball player. But, Anthony, we knew he had these concussion issues coming out of college. This is not new information.
No, not at all. And I think if the NFL didn't change its ways in the past couple of years, he might be out there right now. So, you know, you can't predict how the NFL rule change with the whole concussion thing would have happened, because 5 years ago, when he did get drafted, guys weren't, sitting out because of concussions. They were playing through them. So,
absolutely.
Now the NFL's changed that way.
Well, very quickly, the National Hockey League plans to meet with the Players Association today. If they don't have any quote-unquote significant movement, they're going to cancel another month of the season as early as tomorrow. I'm not optimistic. I'm just not optimistic they're going to come to any kind of significant movement today. And what a shame for a game that just went through a lockout a few short years ago. And to continue to have this posturing, again, the greed is just amazing. I don't know what to say, Anthony, but we have to wait and see. But if they cancel another hockey season, does it survive?
In America, I don't know. I mean, it will come back, but it's not going to be one of the top. It's going to be number four to the top four sports.
Yeah, well, that's unfortunate. All right, thanks, Anthony. We got to get to a quick break here. 888-552-3595. When we come back, we'll preview tonight's debate. Would love your thoughts on what you think needs to happen. Again, 888-552-3595. This is First Shift. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Mitt Romney released only 1 year. To the McCain campaign, he released 23 years. And he's telling the American people, I'm not going to give you what I've given John McCain's people in 2008. And when he gave them 23 years, John McCain's people looked at it and said, let's go with Sarah Palin.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
We've picked up our first problems of the morning. First one's over on Mound Road, northbound, just after Metro Parkway. Accident has two lanes blocked, and that involves a semi. We got a disabled vehicle that's on Metro Parkway westbound just before Van Dyke. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Ford.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 59 with clear skies in the late afternoon. Tonight, a low of 50 with a light drizzle. Tomorrow, 70 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 46 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Show Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock Michigan, your future is waiting for you now.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
From her first moments as mayor, Janice Daniels has repeatedly disrespected the city of Troy and its citizens. During her swearing-in ceremony, she blatantly refused to take the oath to uphold the city charter of Troy. Justifying her actions, Mayor Daniels declared the city charter to be a whimsical document. She embarrassed the city's proud history and those public servants who came before her. She further embarrassed the city of Troy and made national headlines with her derogatory and inexcusable comments targeted at homosexuals and the LGBT community, forever linking the city of Troy and its diverse population with this kind of intolerance. Her extreme agenda influenced her voting against expanded funding for the city library and the building of a federally funded transit center, ignoring a large bipartisan majority and the direct endorsement of Governor Rick Snyder and the wishes of the Troy Chamber of Commerce. She repeatedly used her deciding vote to ignore what was best for the city of Troy. And if Janice Daniels doesn't represent you, vote yes to recall her on November the 6th.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this early Tuesday morning. I didn't go through the lineup. We've got, let me do that real quickly. As we work our way through the morning today in the 7 o'clock hour, Rachel Cletus will be with us. Rachel is the senior climate economist for the Union of Concerned Scientists. She'll be in Michigan this week to talk to college students about the need for, or the economic need for, alternative energy. Certainly we'll be asking her about Proposal 3. Allison Remsen will join us. She's the executive director of Mobile Future. And this was might be a little head-scratcher for you, but don't let it be. What is the future of mobile technology? What about bandwidth? What about all the demands that are made? What about the information that is pushed so easily? I think of my own smartphone and the information I get. So Allison will join us at 7:35. Jessica Tremontana, the communications director of Progress Michigan, is with us just after 8 o'clock. And then really a very touching interview. Lauren Furno will be joining us. I'm sure that you've all seen her in that commercial supporting the three democratically nominated members for the Supreme Court, Sheila Johnson, Connie Kelly, and Bridget McCormick. Lauren has a very difficult and touching story. Her daughter was murdered, and in the aftermath of that, she wanted justice, could not find it. Very, very difficult story. We'll talk to her at 8:35. And as I said a little earlier, Hans Barbe will join us. Hans is here to talk to us about the one-year anniversary of Occupy Detroit. And last but not least, State Representative John Alumba will be with us at 9:35. If you have not heard, he's asking for Mayor Dave Bing to practice accountability. But in lieu of that, he is also starting a recall campaign against Dave Bing. This is, I don't believe, for political purposes. Representative Alumba is about to be reelected in his state rep seat. I think he's truly looking out for the people of the city of Detroit. So we will visit with him much later on in the show today, and very much looking forward to that. All right. 888-552-3595 is our number. The second presidential debate is tonight. In fact, we have two debates in the next 8 days. And so we ask ourselves this question, and it's a fair question. What does President Obama, and conversely, what does Mitt Romney need to do this evening? Now, we have heard from the president's camp that he is going to hold Mr. Romney more accountable, that he is not going to be, quote-unquote, as polite, and that the president's going to come out swinging. Does he run the risk of seemingly looking like the angry black man? Well, I don't think that at all. I don't think that that's something that he needs to concern himself with. Maybe he was a little taken back by Mitt Romney lying so easily during the last debate. And what I found interesting about that is, yeah, you know, Romney did get a little bump from that debate performance. But what does that tell you about the American people that you actually feel good about a candidate that lied? And that's really what happened. At the end of the day, that's what happened. When, you know, lying is not a virtue. And so what really does need to happen tonight? Well, I think the president needs to show that he's presidential. I think he needs to, you know, certainly be a little more braggadocious about his own record. And he's got to start doing that. He's never been terribly good about patting himself on the back. And, Mr. President, I know you're not listening online or anything right now, but if you were, what I would tell you, what I am going to tell you right now, look around you. Even Jimmy Carter knew how to pat himself on the back. It's important that that happens from time to time. Even if that's not something you feel comfortable wearing, it is the way the game is played. And, you know, don't rely on the other guy to say good things about you. That's not going to happen. And it's not the same when it comes from somebody on your side. So I think he does need to be much more bold in his approach, not to be afraid to talk about the things that he has accomplished, especially as it relates to foreign policy. And it is my understanding that this town hall style debate, which is going to happen tonight, which will be hosted by CNN's Candy Crawley, has created a little bit of a controversy because she has publicly said that she may not follow the rules specifically as defined between the two campaigns, which is curious at best. But we'll have to wait and see. How this works is the people that will be in the audience tonight were handpicked by the Gallup organization, the polling organization. These are supposedly undecided voters. And so Gallup chose the audience that will be at Hofstra University. They will submit question. Candy Crawley gets to, choose the questions that are asked. Now, the way the agreement was written, she wasn't allowed to either add to a question, subtract from a question, or provide her own follow-up questions. That's where you heard me. She has not publicly agreed that that is the way she is going to do things. Could be interesting. Could be very interesting. But after the last two, and although Martha Raddatz did a fine job, she just didn't do much moderating. Jim Lehrer, of course, was an absolute train wreck. I don't know that Candy Crawley can do any worse, but as I'm saying that, of course, yeah, she possibly could. We'll wait and see what happens. It should be an interesting evening. I'm going to do what I did the last two debates. I'll get up a little bit earlier and watch them online. Excuse me, in the morning, because I'm just a wimp. I can't stay up that late. I just can't do it. And you can bet. And, in fact, we're going to leave the whole 7 o'clock hour open tomorrow for your reaction. So it'll be basically the 6 and 7 o'clock hour are all yours to comment on the debate. But if you have any thoughts about tonight's debate, would love to hear from you this morning. What do you think the president needs to do? What do you think Mitt Romney might do? Does it work again for Mitt Romney if he comes out like a bull in a china shop again, or does it just make him look like the angry Republican candidate? You know, there is really no scenario where the incumbent ends up doing exceptionally, even if they do exceptionally well, that it really helps them all that much in the polls. But it does help the challenger if they perform well, as we saw in the last presidential debate. We didn't and won't expect that the vice presidential debate will move the needle. But that's okay, because we don't expect that to happen. And indeed, it didn't have any bounce. Some of the criticism that Joe Biden has taking from the right is just ridiculous. They said that he was disrespectful to Congressman Ryan, which is ridiculous. He wasn't disrespectful. He was just being honest. And I understand how for some of you being honest sucks. Don't know any other way to say it, but, you know, it is what it is. So tonight, the president and Mitt Romney debate, and we'll look forward to that and certainly dedicate a lot of time to that tomorrow morning. 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org, on Twitter @TonyTruppiano. A quick break here. We've got some local and national stories to get to on the other side, but would love to take some of your calls. So, if you're out and about, you're up and you're ready to go, give us a call. We'll take the break and be back right after this on First Shift.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your roads, we still have that closure of Mound Road northbound after Metro Parkway due to an accident involving a semi, and traffic is being diverted onto eastbound Metro Parkway. On 696 eastbound, just before the Lodge Telegraph exit, we got reports of a struck deer in the right two lanes, so please use some caution there. And Metro Parkway westbound before Van Dyke, you got a disabled vehicle blocking the right turn lane. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher's Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 59 with clear skies in the late afternoon. Tonight, a low of 50 with a light drizzle. Tomorrow, 70 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 46 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Organized labor and the right to collective bargaining is under direct attack in Michigan. It's been under direct attack in Wisconsin, and we've seen what has happened there. And it is of crucial importance to protect collective bargaining in Michigan and make it illegal for the legislatures in Lansing to take that basic right of workers away from us. My name is Kylie James. I work at Kroger in Birmingham, and I am the United Food and Commercial Workers.
Union members across Michigan know what it will take to protect working families. Vote yes on Proposal 2.
As we know, the government can't do anything right. We know this not only because a menagerie of right-wing media yackers and anti-government politicians ceaselessly bleat this message at us, but also because it's often echoed by such basso profundo media voices as the New York Times. For example, the Times recently went after the U.S. Postal Service, a favorite target of political forces eager to privatize our nation's mail agency. Distress deepening postal service defaults, screeched the headline, with the article's opening sentence assailing the hapless agency for sinking deeper into debt, having missed for the second time this year a deadline to pay $5.6 billion for its future retiree health benefits. This reinforced the right-wing claims of gross bureaucratic inefficiencies, suggesting that no private corporation could stay in business if it was so slipshod. But wait, while the Times did the who, what, when, and where part of this story, it conveniently evaded the crucial question of why. The unmentioned truth is that in 2006, the forces of privatization got Congress to shackle our post office to an absurd requirement that it must, by 2015, set aside funds to cover the health benefits of all workers who will retire in the next 75 years. Hello? That includes workers who are not yet born. No corporation could or would shoulder such a crushing burden. Yet our corporatized Congress has piled this multi-billion dollar set-aside on the back of this public service, demanding that the huge sum be paid out of current postal revenues. This is Jim Hightower saying, this Enron accounting in reverse forces the Postal Service's books to look bad when they're not. It's a deliberate effort to bankrupt an invaluable public asset so it can be cannibalized by privateers. That's the big news that the Times missed.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock, and good morning to you. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. Well, our First Shift Facebook poll question of the day yesterday, as we're looking at the proposals all week long, is would you support the repeal of the Emergency Financial Manager Act, or Public Act 4, by the score of 17-0? People said yes, time to repeal it. Well, today's First Shift poll question of the day deals with Proposal 2, which, of course, guarantees democracy in the workplace. And early on, and I'm just going to go with the score right now, 7-1, people saying, yes, we must protect democracy in the workplace. One person saying, no, it is unnecessary. Nobody at this point is undecided. So if you would like to vote in our poll this morning, just go to Facebook, search for First Shift, and go ahead and vote in the poll. You'll find it easily enough. It's right there. And we'll, of course, talk about this more tomorrow. But Proposal 1, which is, interestingly enough, another abortion of democracy, really took your right, well, not your right to vote, because it still lets you vote. It just doesn't let your vote count. I don't know what's worse. WDIV Channel 4 has a preview of Proposal 1. This is what they have to report.
Metro Detroit is well acquainted with the Emergency Manager Law, or Public Act 4, as it's known, but the ball really started rolling outstate. Benton Harbor and Flint went first, then Pontiac and E-Course wound up with emergency managers. Detroit School District, along with Highland Park, gave us a real window into the new law, and more recently, Muskegon Heights joined in. But the reconstruction work the EMs did in all of those places went on hold recently because of the following words that you're going to find in the ballot. Public Act 4 of 2011 would establish criteria to assess the financial condition of local government units, including school districts, authorize governor to appoint an emergency manager upon state finding of a financial emergency, and allow the EM to act in place of local government officials. There are two other lines, but you get the point here. You're asked, should this law be approved, yes or no? The man who led the charge on this issue and wants you to vote no was Ask Me Council 25 Union Chief Al Garrett, who says beyond the theft of democracy,
thorning with the bankruptcy judge says everybody at the table is going to take a haircut. That the bonds, they're going to get part of theirs. The retirees are going to get part. The workers are going to give part. There's an equitable way of doing it. Now, am I advocating for bankruptcy? No.
These communities were on a path to disaster because of the decision making in the communities or the fact pattern in the communities in terms of declining population and such. So they were on a very negative path.
So in the end, this is really a test of the governor's political coattails. Can he persuade the state, without a lot of money to do so, that it should keep the emergency manager law, whereas the unions are spending a lot of money trying to get this thing undone? In fact, they went through the courts and spent a lot of money on lawyers to get the same thing done. But either way, yes or no, a lot will change in the state of Michigan as a result of Proposal 1. Live in Waterford, right in the Lummi.
All right, and we'll let that stand on its own. 888-552-3595. Let's welcome John in Detroit to First Shift. John, thanks for punching in this early morning. What's on your mind?
Not much, Tony. I was telling your screener, I don't Facebook, so I couldn't vote in the poll for Proposal 2. And personally, myself, I'm going to vote yes.
Well, then I'll vote yes for you, John. How's that?
I appreciate it, Tony. I don't Facebook, but I, like I was saying, you know, there's a lot of people that I work with that are, you know, we're in a union, and they're going to vote no on two, and for no other reason really than it's they feel like it's a referendum on the international union and how they really just left the local unions hung out to dry. And, you know, it doesn't seem like there's any convincing these people that, you know, Proposal 2 would be beneficial to not have Michigan become a right to work state.
So they don't understand. John, wait a minute here. They don't understand that. Go ahead.
They're so furious at the international. They can't see the forest through the trees. I think is what it is.
Are you comfortable?
And a lot of people.
Are you comfortable telling me which union you're in?
I'm sorry. What?
Are you comfortable telling me what union you belong to?
I'm in the UAW.
All right, and so they're upset with the international for what particular reason, John? Do you know, or is it a series of reasons?
Oh, yeah, it's so many different reasons. It's just, you know, it's really, you know, it's they're too numerous.
But, John, I mean, I understand that you're supporting Proposal 2. What I don't understand is you're not penalizing the international by voting no. You're penalizing yourself by voting no.
Well, it's a little of both, I think. You know, the international union is really seen as self-centering and, you know, looking out for their own best interests, which don't necessarily coincide with the local membership's best interest, you know, sad to say. But, you know, I really don't have a good argument for these people to say, you know, hey.
I think we lost John. You still there, John?
Yeah, I'm
sorry. Oh, okay. You just broke up for a second. Well, you know, John, obviously, if right to work, if the threat of right to work isn't enough to get them to vote for Proposal 2, then I don't know what more it will take. You know, they think that this two-tier system now is difficult. Wait until they eliminate two-tier. Wait until they no longer have benefits. Wait until you're paying 20 or 30 or 40% of a copay on your health insurance. And if people don't think that's going to happen, that's exactly what's going to happen if Proposal 2 doesn't pass. John, as you well know, Proposal 2 isn't just about wages. It's also about benefits. Let's talk about benefits for a moment. What about safety in the workplace? That's all part of collective bargaining. That goes away. I mean, John, the reality is in an attempt to penalize your international, what you're really doing is hurting the entire cause of organized labor by saying no to this question. I'm stunned by what you just told me.
It stuns me too. And you know, you're preaching to the choir because I personally myself, I'm going to vote yes for two. I'm going to, you know, grit my teeth as I do it, but you know, I'm still going to vote yes. It's just a lot of people that I've talked to that I've worked with, you know, they're not in support of it. And, you know, a lot of points that they make, it's difficult to make a logical argument against them. So,
well, I'd love an opportunity to sit and talk with these folks. I really would, John. So if there's an opportunity where you can get me in to talk to these people before the election, try to figure that out.
Okay, Tony.
All right. Thank you so much for calling this morning. I'm a little stunned by that. I'm really a little bit stunned by that. This idea that you punish your international by voting no on something that directly affects you is, wow, I who would have thought in a million years I'd get that call this morning? That's really kind of crazy. folks, I don't know. It's not often that I'm speechless. This one's got me a little speechless. How does punishing the international help the cause? I don't get it. This one stuns me. This one stuns me. Let's also be mindful. I mean, as much as we've talked about Prop 2 on this show, and we've talked about Prop 2 more than we've talked about anything. But Prop 2 is something that benefits all working families, not just union families, but all families. You know, just because you're not in a union doesn't mean that there isn't collective bargaining in your workplace. There is. And I'm a little stunned that you think that by penalizing somehow by voting no penalizes your international, and I can't make that leap. I just can't make that leap. I don't get it. But it's the whole point of doing this show. It's an open forum, and so I've got to accept that reality. And I appreciate the call. I truly do. Let's just hope that cooler heads prevail. I really hope, John, that you can get me in to talk to these guys. I'd love to have a rational conversation. I'm not looking for a screaming match. I would love to hear some rationalization here. I truly would. This has got me a little bit flummoxed, if you will. Just kind of crazy. I mean, it's just a little bit crazy. People have a right to their own opinion. I'm not going to sit here and tell you don't, because you all have a right to your opinion. But this is a bit stunning. It really is. Okay, I guess I should stop rambling on about this now, shouldn't I? Anyway, 888-552-3595 if you care to join us. Today's question is about Prop 2. We'll be working through the propositions all week, which takes us to next Monday, where we'll get to question 6 or proposition 6. So one every day. Then we'll start working on candidates as we move forward. Not that I'm going to be, although I'm surprised by that call, I think that some of these results, because of the makeup of this audience, are quite predictable. I will tell you that as I've continued to talk to people, I had a wonderful conversation with a woman by the name of Gloria yesterday. Gloria calls me and says, a friend of mine listens to your show every day, and I'm really confused about the proposals. Can you help me work through them? She says that you've been going through them all the time. I haven't had a chance to hear them, so I spent, not a lot of time, but some time, walking through the proposals, and she asked me how I was going to vote. And so we walked through that. What, just a really lovely woman. I don't know how she's going to vote. She was very noncommittal, but I enjoyed the conversation nonetheless. Let's take a quick break here. Much more to get to on the other side. And feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Yeah, I'm a little stunned. We'll take the break and be right back. Stay with us. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
With Tony Tribbiano.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Tribbiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Need a boost to be your best? Drink SK Energy Shots. None of the bad stuff in it, so you never crash or get the jitters. Just a smooth rush of energy that tastes great. New SK Energy Shots. Powerful, pure energy. Available at Rite Aid, GNC, CVS, and your local retailer.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized. You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM, and it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before 7 o'clock. I am Tony Trupiano. A pleasure to be with you. We are going to go back to the phones. If you'd like to join us, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. We welcome Dave in Redford. Good morning, Dave. Thanks for joining us today. What's on your mind?
You're welcome, Tony. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, regarding Proposal 2, definitely voting no, because this would seem to codify, you know, government unions. And this is one area where I agree with Democrats, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. You know, he wrote quite extensively about how the nature of the relationship between, you know, the negotiators and the government unions, that you really don't have anybody bargaining on opposite sides there.
How's
everything else? People are free to join unions still. Companies can still have unions, even if this law doesn't pass. You know, there'll still be a choice.
Yeah, but here's the problem. We have had over 200 pieces of legislation passed that have been either anti-union or anti-working family. When does this stop, Dave? At what point do we stop? What point, Dave, do we stop this madness?
Elect legislatures from your districts to the state house and the state senate, you know, and have them pass laws, you know, elect a governor. That's democracy, like you was talking about. I agree with that.
So you're willing to take the risk of right to work and whatever else might happen until we rewrite some wrongs here. You're willing to take that risk.
Yes, sir. And the other thing what about government and unions, the government employees and unions? I mean, what do you think about what Franklin Delano Roosevelt had to say?
Define a government employee and union. Define that. You're talking about teachers? You're talking about cops? You're talking about firemen?
SEIU, you know.
SEIU is not a government. SEIU is not a government union.
Oh, Service Employees International. Okay, who are the government unions? I mean, the government is unionized.
Well, okay, first of all, not the entire. You're talking about public sector employees, right? Okay, well, Dave, we got to be talking on the same page here. So you're saying government unions. You're talking about public sector employees. You're talking about teachers. You're talking about firemen. You're talking about cops, right?
I know where you're going. Yeah,
no, you don't know where I'm going. I'm asking you a question, Dave. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, I'm talking about them and all the other myriad of employees that are not firemen, police, and teachers.
Okay, but
with firemen, police, and teachers.
So you're saying that none of them have a right to union representation?
A right?
Yes, right.
Well, yes, I agree with Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Oh,
that's
sweet
true,
God.
Yes.
Okay, thanks for your call, Dave. Obviously, you're trying to get me to chase my tail, and I'm not going to do it. I can't waste my time that way. You realize, Dave, this is what you said. Joe, help me out here a minute. Did Dave just not say you still would have a right to organize and then turn around and say, but as long as you don't work for a government entity?
Yeah, he basically contradicted himself.
All right.
As
I just wanted to make sure. I try to be fair, but that one confused me because you can't say you're for something. Well, I guess you can because Mitt Romney does it daily. You can't say you're for something and also against something, which is what I think that's what Dave was saying. But if I'm getting it wrong, tell me, Joe. I'm willing to admit when I'm wrong.
I think you're right. My overall impression was he was trying to link the nonsense in the commercial to reality, but it didn't really play out that way since it's all nonsense.
All right. Well, you know, all Proposal 2 does, for those of you that haven't been listening, is it gives you a right to collective bargaining in your workplace. That's all it does. It doesn't make your kids less safe. It doesn't allow pedophiles to drive school buses or to teach our children. It doesn't allow for happy hour in the teacher's lounge. It doesn't allow any of that stuff. So this idea that somehow, and you know, there are people, Joe, I understand there are people that are against government, if you will, government entities having unions. And I've never heard a good reason why they're against it, but they seemingly are against it. And he wanted to do the FDR thing on me. I don't, you know, listen, I don't live in the past. I'm living in the present. It's crazy, especially after what we've seen happen to teachers here in the state of Michigan over the last 21 months, 22 months. It's absolutely insane to think that our legislature cares about anything but busting the union. I mean, the whole point of my going out to the PPAN demonstration yesterday was because they're trying to bust the union. This is why we need Proposal 2. We need it to make sure that the legacy that millions of men and women before us fought and successfully fought and were able to uphold the idea of democracy in the workplace. We just need to strengthen it, is all I'm saying. Wow, I just don't get it. You can't. I don't know how you can be pro-union and anti-Prop 2. I don't see that connection there. And going back to the call from John a little earlier, and I really hope that John can put together a meeting. I would love to meet the people he works with. And here, I want to listen to what it is they have to say. But this idea that you somehow win by penalizing your international, whew. Can't wrap my head around that one. Just can't wrap my head around it. Anyway, Dave, thanks for trying to get me, I guess. Throwing FDR out there. I don't agree with everything every Democrat has ever said. I even agree with some of the things Republicans try to do. Like, you know, the Affordable Care Act, which was originally an idea from the Heritage Foundation. It doesn't get any more right-wing than that. But all of a sudden, when it's not their idea any longer, you know, they're against it. It's all about getting credit, right? Wow. Wow. I'm a little bit blown away by this early morning conversation. Well, if I wasn't awake, I certainly am now. Thank you. You guys have all accomplished. You've accomplished that in a big way. All right. We don't really have enough time to get into any audio, so we're going to hopefully have time to get to some of it a little bit later on. The big debate tonight, I'm very excited about that. I am. I'm not going to watch till the morning, but there's talk about expectations. I mean, just talk about expectations. You had, in the first debate, you had expectations, didn't know what you were going to get. Well, now you know what you got. So that, of course, changes the expectations for tonight dramatically, both for the Republicans and the Democrats. I think the taller order tonight, you know, I might all be a little stunned by me saying this, is for the president, not for Mitt Romney. I think the president really needs to do something pretty darned radical. All right, let's take a quick break here. When we come back, Rachel Cletus will join us. She's the senior climate economist for the Citizens, what are they called? A Union of Concerned Scientists. I love that. Union of Concerned Scientists. Sounds so professional, and it is, of course. All right, a quick break. NBC News coming up at the top. More First Shift after we take this break.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your roads, we still have that closure of Mound Road northbound after Metro Parkway due to an accident involving a semi, and traffic is being diverted onto eastbound Metro Parkway. On 696 eastbound, just before the Lodge Telegraph exit, we got reports of a struck deer in the right two lanes, so please use some caution there. And Metro Parkway westbound before Van Dyke, you got a disabled vehicle blocking the right turn lane. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher's Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 59 with clear skies in the late afternoon. Tonight, a low of 50 with a light drizzle. Tomorrow, 70 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 46 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
Face-off tonight, just 3 weeks to Election Day. President Obama and Mitt Romney meet in a town hall-style debate that could be crucial in a tight race. NBC's Chuck Todd.
This race is at a nice edge of closeness. You no longer describe this race as close, but the president has structural advantages. There are no more buts. It is that close.
Pizza Hut has scrapped a stunt that would have given a pizza a week for life to anyone at tonight's debate who asked the question, sausage or pepperoni? Any way you slice it, critics say it was a bad idea. Vice President Biden will be among the mourners today at the funeral of former Pennsylvania Senator Arlen Specter, who died Sunday after a long battle with lymphoma. And if you want to cut the risk of diabetes, stand up. A British study links prolonged sitting to a greater risk of diabetes and heart disease, even in people who exercise regularly. This is NBC News Radio. Two other drugs from a specialty pharmacy appear to be involved in the fatal meningitis outbreak that has now claimed 15 lives, all linked to contaminated steroid shots for back pain. NBC's Lisa Myers.
The government broadened its warning to, for the first time, include other products made by the pharmacy at the heart of the meningitis outbreak, the New England Compounding Center.
Three new infections are being investigated by the FDA. The latest must-have Apple gizmo is smaller in size and price. A new iPad is in the works, expected to make its debut next week with a 7-inch screen and a $299 price tag. And more Americans have a beef with meat. 59% in a new poll say they have cut back on meat consumption, mainly for health reasons. The beef lobby counters that you don't have to steer clear of red meat. Just choose a leaner cut. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
When I heard Wells Fargo was giving their customers a free credit score, I figured I'd stop in.
It's part of our limited-time promotion. We'll give you a personal access code so you can obtain a free credit score and complimentary credit report. We can also talk about your credit score and how it impacts you.
Good to know.
Stop into Wells Fargo from now until November 15, 2012 and ask a banker about how to get your personal access code to obtain a free credit score and complimentary credit report. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. See a banker for specific promotion details.
This is Charles Osgood. In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you with who? Another state? Another country? Get a local, independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens to your car, home, or business. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Auto Owners Insurance. The no problem people.
In Deckerville, call the Stone Insurance Agency at 810-376-2915.
One might imagine that a toy company would be a pretty fun place to work. For Mattel, it's fun today. The toy-making giant reports better-than-forecast earnings on more than $2 billion revenue for the July through September quarter. Mattel's Fisher-Price division led the way with global sales up 6%. Sales of Barbie products fell 4%. Also posting earnings this morning, United Health, the biggest health insurance company in the nation. United reports a 23% profit increase for last quarter and has hiked its forecast, crediting lower costs for claims. Higher costs likely will be the talk of Wall Street later this morning. An hour before the opening bell, we get the latest on consumer prices. The measure of retail inflation for September is expected to be up, with gasoline prices a major reason why. Stock futures gaining a little bit. S&P futures right now up 4 points. NASDAQ futures up 9. Dow futures tacking on 30. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Live tonight at 7, CNN's Candy Crowley moderates the presidential town hall debate.
You've got two presidential candidates and such an important decision for voters to make.
After the first game-changing presidential debate, it's the people's turn to ask the questions. And one moment could change the course of the election.
You never know until it happens. It's what makes the debates great.
Barack Obama, Mitt Romney, CNN's Candy Crowley moderates the presidential town hall debate. Live starting at 7 Eastern tonight on CNN.
Trains are the most cost-efficient way to move goods to market. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Neuroman, one of our vendors just called.
That's nice, Mr. Kernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Neuroman. Call Bob from Accountemps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Accountemps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at Accountemps.com.
When I heard Wells Fargo was giving their customers a free credit score, I figured I'd stop in.
It's part of our limited-time promotion. We'll give you a personal access code so you can obtain a free credit score and complimentary credit report. We can also talk about your credit score and how it impacts you.
Good to know.
Stop into Wells Fargo from now until November 15, 2012, and ask a banker about how to get your personal access code to obtain a free credit score and complimentary credit report. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. See a banker for specific promotion details.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now.
First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Tuesday is the 16th day of October 2012. We've got a really fascinating hour of radio in front of us and very excited to bring to you my next two guests. But we'll start one at a time, of course. We have spent a great deal of time on this program talking about the environment. Of course, you all know that we do a monthly segment with the Michigan Environmental Council, and the MEC has been really important to shaping conversations I think wouldn't ordinarily happen, because sadly we have taken our eye off the ball. And I don't know if it's because the truth is so difficult for people to comprehend, or just staying in an old model is more comfortable for people, but I don't think anything is that easy nor neat. Well, let me get to my next guest. Joining us now is Dr. Rachel Cletus. Dr. Cletus is an economist with the climate program at the Union of Concerned Scientists. The focus of her work is designing and advocating for effective global warming policies at the federal, regional, state, and international levels. These policies include both market-based approaches and complementary sector-based approaches as well. Dr. Cletus holds a Ph.D. and an M.A. in economics from Duke University and a B.S. in economics from West Virginia University. And we welcome Dr. Rachel Cletus to today's program. And thank you for being with us this morning, Dr. Cletus.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I look forward to speaking with you and your listeners.
Well, thank you so much. Before we get into some of the specifics of a proposal that you know we have on our ballot, which is Proposition 3, let's talk a little bit about the USC. Tell my audience a little bit about the Union of Concerned Scientists.
Sure. Sure. The Union of Concerned Scientists is a leading science-based organization, and what we do is we do a lot of research around issues that really matter for the public. So issues that affect public health or public safety, things like nuclear proliferation, things like climate change, renewable energy. I, as you said, work in our climate and energy program, and as part of my work, I work very much on policies like the one on Michigan's ballot on November 6th, the renewable energy ballot initiative, and it's a way of getting our country and this state on a track to cleaner energy futures that's better for our children, it's better for our environment, it's better for our health.
Well, you know, interestingly, you know, let's talk for a minute about the focus, or perhaps, Dr. Cletus, the lack of focus with regard to science. It's you know, we talk about issues, we talk about climate change, we talk about global warming, yet it's so easily dismissed as rumor or myth when really there is a lot of science to back up what we say. Why is it as a society we have so easily dismissed science as a legitimate form of fact?
Well, I think the American public is genuinely interested in questions about science and understanding its relevance in their lives. Unfortunately, we're in an era now where scientific facts have become kind of a punching bag and become very polarized politically. And there's a lot of entrenched fossil fuel interests that are pouring a lot of money into opposing any change from the status quo. Even though it's clear, the science is in, climate change is real, it's here, it's already underway. And our activities, things like burning coal to generate electricity, things like driving our cars with fossil fuels, is what's driving the emissions that are causing climate change. And this is a fact that's accepted by every scientific organization here in the U.S. as well as across the world. So let's move on from debating the scientific facts to actually doing something about it. And I think the public is ready for this. We've had a few years of really strange, extreme weather events that are possibly linked to the way climate is already changing. And I think people are ready for someone to take leadership and actually direct us towards solutions.
Well, I don't disagree with any of that. That takes us neatly to our discussion this morning of Proposal 3, which many people know as 25 by 25 or 25 by 2025, which would mandate by Constitution that 25% of our energy production would come from renewable resources. Now, Dr. Cletus, we've talked about this a great deal on the program, and so I'm not afraid to have the conversation again. I'm not afraid if we repeat good, solid information again, because I think it's important we continue to educate this audience as to the importance of voting yes on November 6th on this particular issue. We can talk about economics. We can talk about creating jobs, and we'll do all that. But ultimately, this is the right thing to do, is it not?
Absolutely. And it makes sense on so many fronts. It's a smart economic investment that's going to create jobs here in Michigan. It is going to reduce the pollution that we're experiencing from coal-fired power. So it's good for public health, and it's particularly good for the health of vulnerable people like young children and the elderly. And besides that, this is an opportunity over time to actually bring down our electricity rates. Because the thing about renewable energy like wind and solar power, yes, you've got to make some upfront investments, but then the fuel is free. You don't have to pay for the wind or the sun. Unlike coal, which Michigan spends $1.3 billion each year importing into the state. So here's an opportunity to reinvest that money right back in the state. It makes smart economic sense, smart environmental sense, and it's good for our health.
Well, let's stick to the environment for just a moment. As we know, and certainly different part of the states are going to have different environmental challenges. You know, in our more rural areas, it may not be as significant, but that's not necessarily true. Of course, we're not just talking about the quality of our air. We're also talking about the quality of our water. We start talking about things like hydraulic fracturing or fracking. You know, we continue, Dr. Cletus, to have a lot of different discussions when the answers are really obvious and in front of us. And really the disturbing trend, as far as I'm concerned, is we continue to ignore what's already happening internationally. We are falling behind quickly, and if we don't do something soon, we will not be a major player in this, and this is not a game. We will not be a major player in making sure that our communities have sustainable energy.
Absolutely. And here you point out a very important fact, which is that the global clean energy race is on. And the question is, do we want to be part of it? Do we want to be leading it? And Michigan is in a unique position because of our long history with the automotive industry. We have a lot of the basic underlying manufacturing capabilities in place, the skills there. And we're finding more and more that companies here in Michigan are interested in either transitioning out of or expanding into new areas from the automotive industry. So steel manufacturing, which is what goes into the turbine blades, these are very important kinds of jobs that could have tremendous opportunity here in Michigan. So it's not just about winning a global race. It's about benefiting our local economy right here. And you point out the pollution. Well, as your listeners are well aware, when you burn coal, you get a whole lot of harmful pollutants, including mercury, sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxides. And these have been linked to increases in asthma attacks, heart disease, neurological problems in young children, and even premature death. So what an opportunity here to transition away from being dependent on a resource that creates these kinds of health hazards to clean resources like wind and solar power.
Well, you know, it's actually, you know, quite fascinating as I continue to study this. And, of course, as you're well aware, in Ontario, you know, in Canada, they are really one of the leaders on alternative forms of energy and renewable resources. Wind farms are popping up all over the place. And there's such a reason to be optimistic. And one of the, you know, here's the, for me anyway, the real beauty of this, Dr. Cletus, is there's no guessing involved. This isn't a gamble. We already know what does and doesn't work. We already know that the technology's there. We already know that we can really fill a need. I mean, and a real necessary need for these technologies. If we're smart here in Michigan and we pass this Proposal 3, we will find ourselves, I would think, within a decade, the leader in this technology.
Yes, I mean, Michigan is in a really incredible situation here where we have a tremendous wind resource, for example, in the state. So the Department of Energy has done a study where they pointed out that even without including any offshore wind potential from Lake Michigan, we can produce more than seven times the amount of electricity we need to meet the standard. So we've got the resources just through land-based wind resources. And for folks who are concerned about this, all we would need is less than 1% of our total land area to install these wind turbines. So it takes so little of our land. We can install this. We can meet our electricity needs. We can diversify into other forms of renewable energy as well, including solar and biomass. And in doing so, we're creating other economic opportunities. So this has a lot of very good spillover effects in the Michigan economy.
You're right. You know, I got it very quickly before we get to the break. And I'm going to try to keep a straight face when I say this. I watch the commercials, the anti-Prop 3 commercials, and they say, what happens if the wind doesn't blow or the sun doesn't shine? And it's called Thursday. I mean, you know, come on. This is just ridiculous to think that the wind will never blow again and the sun won't shine.
Yes, absolutely. This is a fallacy, and we know that we've seen many other states here in the Midwest have very strong renewable energy standards. This has never been a problem, and in fact, it's helped bring down rates in other states. You know, we've seen the Illinois Power Agency, for example, they have a 25 by 25 standard, and in 2011, for that state, this resulted in $176 million of savings in reduced electricity generation.
Dr. Cletus, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought. We've got to get to the break. We'll come back and talk to Dr. Rachel Cletus, who is with the Union of Concerned Scientists, but we need to do the break. We'll do it here and be right back.
First Chip with Tony Tribbiani.
I'll pay higher taxes. I look at it this way. I can pay higher taxes and people can have jobs, or I can pay lower taxes and I have my kid's teacher asking me for a loan because she's going to lose her house, which is true.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
We picked up a new problem on your commute. It's over on 75 southbound in McNichols where an accident has your right shoulder blocked. Still got that disabled vehicle that's blocking your right turn lane on Metro Parkway westbound just before Van Nuys. And we still have that closure of Mound Road northbound after Metro Parkway due to that accident. It is in the clearance stages now, but traffic is still being diverted onto eastbound Metro Parkway. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 59 with clear skies in the late afternoon. Tonight, a low of 50 with a light drizzle. Tomorrow, 70 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 46 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
From her first moments as mayor, Janice Daniels has repeatedly disrespected the city of Troy and its citizens. During her swearing-in ceremony, she blatantly refused to take the oath to uphold the city charter of Troy. She further embarrassed the city of Troy and made national headlines with her derogatory and inexcusable comments targeted at homosexuals and the LGBT community. Her extreme agenda influenced her voting against expanded funding for the city library and the building of a federally funded transit center. If Janice Daniels doesn't represent you, vote yes to recall her on November the 6th.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now, director of Hellbound, Kevin Miller.
Yeah, well, definitely. And that's something I would say is that this debate over hell, some people might say, I don't need to watch that film. I don't believe in hell. In Hellbound, what we do is we draw a connection between what we believe in and the kind of world we create. And underlying every society is some form of worldview that is going to give rise to an internal set of values, which we externalize into laws and all that sort of thing. And so if the foundation of your worldview includes a God who's ultimately used as violence as a problem solver, we're going to become a very violent people.
First Shift with Tony Trivino
on 1310 WDTW.
Organized labor and the right to collective bargaining is under direct attack in Michigan. It's been under direct attack in Wisconsin, and we've seen what has happened there. And it is of crucial importance to protect collective bargaining in Michigan and make it illegal for the legislatures in Lansing to take that basic right of workers away from us. My name is Kylie James. I work at Kroger in Birmingham, and I am the United Food and Commercial Workers.
Union members across Michigan know what it will take to protect working families. Vote yes on Proposal 2.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show. Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock, my guest is Dr. Rachel Cletus. She is an economist with the climate program at the Union of Concerned Scientists. You're going to find them online, by the way, at UCSUSA.org. That's UCSUSA.org. We, of course, will have that, if we don't already, on the Facebook page. So you can follow up there. Dr. Cletus, thanks for staying with us through the break. You know, let's talk for a minute about a couple different things, but one of them, of course, is climate change. You said the science is there, the facts are there. We continue to ignore this, and I think the reason, and as you profoundly said, it's true. Those that have made literally billions upon billions of dollars with fossil fuels, with coal, whatever, are so entrenched in that model that the idea of being forced to do something they want to do may be abhorrent to them, but it's abhorrent to them because this is just a matter of economics to them. It's not a matter of environmental concern, and that's just my opinion. But we need to change this, or we are going to find ourselves literally suffocating.
Sure. I mean, we're in a situation where these fossil fuel interests are holding our future hostage. That's the bottom line. I mean, if you look at the situation in Michigan right now, we're spending, as I said, $1.3 billion a year importing coal into the state. We've had a situation where the cost of coal is only increasing. DTE imposed a rate increase of 13.5% on its customers this year. This is only getting more expensive. Coal is outdated, expensive. This is not our future. It's time to move off this resource. And you've seen the money that they're pouring into a campaign of misinformation here in Michigan. Now, magnify that at the national scale. That's exactly the situation we're in. They're holding our lawmakers and our legislators hostage to their narrow political and economic interests. And it's time for citizens to stand up and say, this is not the future we want for our energy, for our country, for our children. We want them to have opportunities, and that opportunity is transitioning to a clean energy economy. It'll create jobs, it'll be good for our health, and it will bring down our rates over time. We won't have to be dependent forever on this outdated resource, coal.
Well, that's the other concern is that, and again, watching the commercials, the anti-commercials, they say, well, you know, if you don't want to pay more in your utility bills, you need to vote no on Proposal 3. Yet there's no basis in fact on that. In fact, we have a basis in fact that it would go the other way, that we would actually see a reduction in our utility bills. And, you know, you and I aren't here today to debate what the truth from the lies, but we certainly can talk about the truth and ignore the lies, that's for sure.
Yeah, the status quo is that the rates are going up. As we're staying on coal, our rates are going up. That's what we've seen around the country and here in Michigan. So this is some kind of voodoo that they're trying to put on us, that the rates, somehow they're keeping rates low for us by staying on coal, and that's not true. And in fact, by transitioning to these other resources, as I pointed out, we make some investments up front, but then the fuel is free. And so why wouldn't we want to go down that path?
Okay, well, let's for a moment. Let's look at you know, we talk a lot about wind. I've got this romantic relationship with windmills. Don't ask me why, Dr. Cletus. I just think they're sexy for some reason. I do. I don't know what it is. I'm fascinated. But solar energy certainly has a place. And unfortunately, we focus on the negative stories that are out there, but there are certainly far more success stories than there are failures.
Yeah, so against this backdrop of rising coal prices, what we've seen is the cost of wind and solar drop dramatically in the last few years. For example, wind turbine prices have declined as much as 33% in the last 4 years, and PV module prices, they're now 75% lower than they were in 2008. So we're looking at resources whose costs are falling so dramatically in the recent years, and they're only going to fall further. Yes, we're all, there's a part of every one of us, the geek fascination. It's beautiful to watch those wind turbines, see roofs with solar panels. But it's more than that, right? These are absolutely economic resources that can be used to generate energy to meet all of our energy needs.
Well, you know, so, Dr. Cletus, just very, very quickly, because I don't want to run out of time. I want people to just, you know, and maybe this is a little too foo-foo-y for some people, but I want them to think about something. When we think about periods in our history, what will this current generation of Americans be able to say, I was there for this? I think this can be that moment for us, that we can say to our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, I was a part of that movement. I helped change the climate. We have cleaner air and water today because I stood up and I helped pass legislation, or I helped pass a ballot initiative that made the difference. I think this can be our moment.
Yes, it's the ultimate democratic expression of what we want as a society, right? We're out there, we vote yes on Proposal 3, and that means that we're putting Michigan on this track to be a clean energy leader. We're transforming the way we generate electricity, and that transforms our economy, our local economy. So, yes, this generation, I think, is ready for this kind of a transformative change. It's that moment for our society where we either rise up to the challenge or we really, really regret it. And we've got about 10, 15 years to start really getting serious about this, stop dithering about misinformation and these scare tactics, and do something.
gee, there's a wild idea. Let's just do something. I understand that you're either in Michigan or coming to Michigan to do some work here.
I'm in Detroit right now, actually. I am in Michigan, yes.
No, okay. What are you here for specifically?
Well, I'm going around the Detroit area, Lansing, and a number of other places here in Michigan, talking to people, listening to their concerns, trying to give them some good scientific information on the basis of which they can make their decision on Election Day. I'd really like to hear what people right here are feeling about the economy and the future prospects for energy in the state.
Well, I think it's wonderful, and I'm so glad that you were with us this morning as well. I want to remind people that the Union for Concerned Scientists can be found on the internet at ucsusa.org. That's ucsusa.org, and there's some great stuff there. I think that you should really just check them out because I was fascinated by all that they do. And very quickly, as we have to get going, Dr. Cletus, you know, we're talking about creating dynamic, good, living wage jobs. We're talking about cleaning the environment. We're talking about making sure that people are healthier. We're talking about in communities, especially in those communities that are impoverished, we can turn around that local economy by taking an empty shuttered plant and turning it into a productive center of greatness. I mean, lots of great things happen by voting yes on three.
Yes. Yeah, I hope your listeners will go out and vote on Election Day. I hope they'll vote yes on Proposition 3 because I think it has tremendous opportunities for the future of Michigan. Jobs, health, the economy. This is a proposal we're voting yes on.
All right. Dr. Cletus, thank you so much for being with us. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
It is my pleasure. Let's take a very quick break here, folks. When we come back, the future of mobile technology. Does it matter? You betcha. And we'll talk all about it with Allison Remsen when we continue here on First Shift.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Got a new hot spot on your drive. Let's head over to M14 eastbound as you approach 275. Accident has your right two lanes blocked, and that's causing stop-and-go traffic from Beck Road. And traffic is getting by in the left lane only. Still that accident on 75 southbound at McNichols that has your right shoulder blocked. And we got heavy stop-and-go traffic on U.S. 23 southbound between Silver Lake Road and Barker Road. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher's Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 59 with clear skies in the late afternoon. Tonight, a low of 50 with a light drizzle. Tomorrow, 70 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 46 degrees. Outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. National Education Association President Dennis Van Roekel sees a big difference between President Obama and Mitt Romney on education.
When he was governor, he cut funds for education. They had teacher layoffs. He raised tuition for colleges and universities. He gave tax breaks to the wealthiest. He supports the Ryan budget, which I mentioned cuts $115 billion for education. He supports vouchers for private schools. He says class size doesn't matter unless you talk about the school where his kids went, where the maximum class size is 11 to 15. For President Obama, from the first day he started campaigning back in 2008, he's talked about education from early childhood to graduate. He raised Pell Grants. He reformed the loan program so money doesn't go to banks, it goes to kids trying to get a college education. He understands the power of education for the individual to follow your dream. For economic development, this country cannot move down the road of economic development if we don't invest in education like the rest of the world.
Two historic Canadian unions will merge into one mega union, Jesse Russell reports.
Vote results released Monday found 90% of delegates voted in favor of merging the Canadian Auto Workers with the Communications, Energy, and Paper Workers Union of Canada. The coming together of the two unions forms the largest private sector labor organization in Canada, with more than 300,000 members. Combined, the new mega union will represent workers in nearly 20 economic sectors. Canada's labor movement is healthier than the U.S. labor movement in terms of population, with 30% of the Canadian workforce represented by a union. In the States, the percentage is closer to 12%. Part of the terms of the merger include an agreement that the words automakers and paper workers wouldn't be in the name of the new organization. It's unknown what the new name of the union will be. That decision, as well as drafting an organizational structure, will be left to a convention planned for early next year.
The AFL-CIO Monday launched a boycott against American Crystal Sugar until the company ends its 14-month-old lockout of 1,300 union workers. Despite record profits, the company chose to lock out its workers rather than negotiate a new labor contract with them. The lockout cut off these families from income and health care benefits. The AFL-CIO says giving workers the shaft while the company is making record profits is wrong. To support the boycott of American Crystal Sugar, go to AFLCIO.org, Stop Crystal Sugar Greed. This newscast was made possible in part through underwriting support from the hardworking men and women of the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trigiano on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. Yes, mobile future. What is wireless spectrum? Why does it matter? Well, we're going to answer all those questions, I promise you. Joining us now is Allison Remsen. Allison is the executive director of Mobile Future. With nearly 15 years' experience working on communications issues, she joins Mobile Future after handling media relations for the United States Telecom Association. Prior to U.S. Telecom, Allison worked for the House Democratic Whip, David Bonnier. Yay, David! Hey, I love him, Allison. I love David Bonnier.
I know. How can you not?
Absolutely. He's still my hero. She began her career working in the government relations shop for the National Cable Television Association, where she closely monitored the progress and passage of the 1996 Telecommunications Act. And she joins us today to educate us a little bit on what's going on. And, Allison, welcome to First Shift.
Thanks so much, Tony. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity.
It is my pleasure. And I love David Bonnier. All right, I'll get off.
No. We could talk about David all day long. He was a terrific boss, and I had a great chance to spend some time in Michigan with him. So,
well, let me ask you some basic questions, if you don't mind. First of all, this is going to sound naive, but what is Mobile Future? For people that are listening this morning, what is Mobile Future?
Yeah, we are a small coalition that was formed about 4 or 5 years ago, right as kind of the mobile app economy was starting to take off. And we are a membership-based organization that brings together different players in the wireless ecosystem, everyone from network operators to app developers, mobile marketers, mobile billing companies, mobile health companies, some nonprofit groups that have an interest in making sure that mobile's reaching their communities. And I'm based in Washington, and we try and help bridge the communications gap between policymakers and lawmakers who are working in mobile policy issues and the companies who are out there every day building businesses and taking a chance in the mobile space. So we do a lot of work on wireless policy issues.
All right. Well, again, I just want to get some basic information. We got plenty of time. We don't need to rush through this, Allison. I really want people to understand what it is we're talking about this morning. So if you will, tell us or give us a definition of wireless spectrum, because I'm going to guess that's a phrase that a lot of people are not familiar with.
Exactly. I mean, it's so funny. It's one of those things that's such an important part of our lives, and we really don't ever talk about it or understand how what it does. So the spectrum is the airwaves that connect all of the devices that we are using for virtually every aspect of our lives. So our mobile phones, our tablets, our e-readers, they're the airwaves that connect the wireless towers to our devices wherever we are and let us talk or access the internet or, access our medical records. So it's a really important part of the technology and the networks that help build out the wireless infrastructure.
Well, it's interesting. And if, for those of you that are not recognizing what Allison Remsen just said, it is the way. I mean, this is exactly what I've got sitting next to me right there. This is about, in my tablet that's right here, this is what we're talking about. And so, Ellison, what I'm suggesting is what you have to say today really does matter, whether you've got a smartphone, whether you've got a tablet of some kind. The way we move information today is amazing, but that doesn't mean that it's happening without effort or without challenges, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, let's talk a little bit about those challenges. What are some of the challenges that we're facing in the world of wireless spectrum?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those technologies. Wireless is one of the fastest growing technologies that we've seen, and the adoption rates are huge. You know, since the iPhone came to market, we've seen increases of data usage of, I think, more than 20,000% of network traffic on some of our wireless networks. So, you know, like we all, you know, used to have wired phones and cable connections and internet, people are increasingly turning to their mobile devices so that they can run their businesses from anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world virtually, or, you know, they're now turning to their smartphones to check the score, you know, for a game or to, you know, check their email, watch videos. So, you know, what we used to do at home or in the office on our you know, wired devices, we're now increasingly expecting to do mobily from anywhere. And all of this is a really big strain on the existing spectrum and the existing infrastructure that we have for the wireless networks.
All right, and I don't want to sound naive, but again, I want to make sure people understand, so I'll just ask the question, how does this issue impact me or you or my producer Joe or the woman that was just cleaning the studio? I mean, how does this impact us?
Yeah, this is it's a really big deal for everyone, actually. You know, with more traffic on the networks, it's a strain on everything, on the infrastructure, and so, you know, I'm sure you experience it if you go to, say, the baseball game tonight and go to, you know, check your or upload a picture to Facebook or check in at the game, you'll experience delays. You'll literally sense when everyone else in the stadium around you is doing the same thing. And so it means a little bit more time with the loading symbol. Sometimes apps will time out. So from an individual's perspective, that's you know, an inconvenience. It's a challenge. It's discouraging you from potentially doing more of that activity. So as an individual wireless user, that's a problem. It's also a concern for folks who might be building out those apps or increasingly putting their businesses and running their businesses mobily. So if you're building an app that you know, can't that times out or that people are discouraged from using, it's really a challenge, and that's something that everyone who's even thinking about building a business or working in the mobile space needs to realize that this is something we need to deal with.
Well, you know, Ellison, I'm sitting here, and what came to mind, so I'll just say it, what immediately came to mind is we now have credit card readers on smartphones.
Right.
Can you imagine being, let's say, at the stadium tonight? Let's say I'm selling widgets with the Tigers logo on it, and all of a sudden I can't get those cards to go through. That would probably be a big deal to me.
It would be a big deal. It's, you know, for a small business owner, for any business owner, that's the you know, true test of a good night or a really bad one.
Well, so how do we effectively deal with this? I mean, is this a solution in search of a problem or a problem in search of a solution?
You know, this is definitely something that there are a lot of different ways to address the issue. We've got, you know, the people who build out the networks are investing literally billions of dollars. I think it was $20 billion last year to build out more infrastructure and to put up more towers and to do everything that they can to advance the technologies going to 4G LTE, which is a faster technology, and it's a more streamlined technology so that it can handle more of this traffic, but at the same time, it's still not enough. What we need is for lawmakers and policymakers and regulators here in Washington to really roll up their sleeves and figure out how they can free up more spectrum. And we're starting to see some progress there, but you know, this is a problem. The FCC actually predicts that by next year that we will max out capacity of the existing wireless spectrum in the commercial market. So This is a problem that we've seen coming for a while, and we've started to see some steps toward a solution, but we're still not quite there yet.
All right, so let's, and maybe you can, but maybe you can. What are some steps to a solution, Alison Remsen?
Yes, so earlier last year, President Obama was up in Marquette, and he laid out his wireless initiative.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. I mean, it was a huge moment. It was a really, you know, kind of bold look forward to free up 500 megahertz more of spectrum, which would almost double the amount of spectrum available for wireless. And so we saw Congress pass legislation earlier this year that would allow the FCC to move forward with voluntary incentive auctions that would, kind of give a lot of the spectrum that we're looking to repurpose for mobile comes from either the broadcasters or from the government, who are kind of the dominant users in this space. And with the evolution of broadcasting to digital technologies, there's some spectrum there that could probably be better repurposed. And so the FCC is starting their proceedings to create a system where it will be, you know, up to the broadcasters of whether they can, it's in their best interest, it's purely voluntary, to offer up spectrum to be auctioned for mobile use. So that's one track. And then the other one is a process where the government is literally going through their own spectrum holdings and trying to figure out how they can consolidate and move some services around to different bands so that they can clear some of the spectrum bands that could also be auctioned. So, this is something that the government folks here in D.C. are working on, but it's important that they understand and that all wireless users understand that there's some urgency here, and we need to make sure that the folks who are doing this are really kind of keeping their focus on the goal and achieving the objective that President Obama set out and really getting this wireless economy moving forward.
Well, you know, and you stop and think, Alison, and I'm sure y'all are going to agree with it, but with all that's going on, where, you know, the election's on top of us, we've got problems internationally, whatever, the economy's still challenged. You know, we're sitting here talking about wireless spectrum and access, but let's for a moment, Alison, think about what happens if that 911 call doesn't go through. What happens if you're sending a file to a client and it's a, you know, $17 million commission check for somebody? You know, these are real issues, and we shouldn't and can't make light of this. We need to make sure that we respond to this in a profound way, because as technology continues to change, as we continue to be challenged this way, if we are not smart and if we do not get ahead of this curve, it could really create a crash for the economy. It could create really life and death situations. And I don't think I'm being overly dramatic here. I'll let you comment on that, but after we take a break, because we got to get to the break. Alison Remsen, again, my guest. She is the executive director of Mobile Future. You're going to find them online at mobilefuture.org or follow them on Twitter at Mobile Future. Let's take a quick break here. We'll return with Alison Remsen right after we do this on 1310 WDTW.
With Tony
I've always thought it as something that's still holding the country back. You choose to love whoever you love. It's no different than discriminating against blacks. It's discrimination, plain and simple.
On 1310 WDTW.
I think it's the right thing to do. So whether it costs them votes or not, it's really not about votes. It's about people.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote.
You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Tired of paying bills? Enter the Live the Sweet Life contest at SweetJack.com. If you win, Sweet Jack pays your bills for a year. You could travel, get a pet tiger.
That's what I would do.
Enter the Live the Sweet Life contest now at SweetJack.com.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes till 8 o'clock. My guest again, Allison Remsen. Allison is the executive director for Mobile Future. Mobile Future. Stop and think about that. Allison, I went through this laundry list of challenges, scenarios. This is, again, pretty serious stuff.
It is. And I think you really hit the nail on the head here. I mean, you know, when you think about public safety and you think about even mHealth applications where you'll have medical professionals reading results and making diagnoses on their mobile devices. I mean, it's really important, and for businesses who are running transactions, the mobile connections that we today take for granted, it's really a huge part of our everyday lives. And as we continue to transition to more mobile connections and more mobile devices and more, more reliability on mobile, it's something that really needs to be addressed, and Spectrum is just one of the ways to help make sure that all of these connections go through, and making more Spectrum available for mobile is a top priority.
Well, you know, Allison, I was recently in the hospital, and they were using basically a smartphone to chart. Nurses were using smartphones to chart, and, you know, I'd asked the nurse about it, and, no, she was showing me, kind of proud of what they were doing, and in a lot of doctors' offices, they've gone to everything's digital, but this is wireless. This is all taking up a wireless spectrum. I don't think people understand. It's not just about having a really cool router that'll handle a lot of traffic. If it were that simple, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
No, absolutely. I mean, the medical health services are just incredible. And the ability to, you know, take that the next step further so that you'll have more instant communications with your doctors. I was just in San Diego at a wireless show, and I was talking to a cardiologist out there who, you know, uses wireless very heavily, and he's able to interact, you know, instantly with his patients who may be wearing a heart monitor, may be having an incident, may not, but, you know, to help patients who are dealing with more chronic diseases, and to also make sure that, you know, that there's a clear record of what they're doing, and to, you know, be able to diagnose or to kind of change your treatment with more speed than waiting, say, another week to get into the doctor's office. It's a huge part of you know, our lives now. The other place where we're seeing some significant growth in mobile usage is also in education, where we're seeing more tablets in the classroom, so you don't have kids walking around with, you know, loaded down backpacks with some books that may or may not get to, you know, current day. And so they're they're using more interactive tools to help educate our kids and to help them really prepare for the next stage in our lives.
Well, so. No question that's true. You know, let's be honest about it, Allison. We are spoiled rotten. Technology, you know, I was having this conversation with somebody just a couple weeks ago. Look at where we're at now with technology. Literally, it exists where you can have a refrigerator that keeps inventory. I can be at work and go, man, you know, I should stop and do some grocery shopping. Let me kind of tap into my refrigerator, get the inventory so I can go make my list and go shopping from my office.
Right.
We're spoiled rotten. We can turn the lights on and off. We can set an alarm or turn it off. We can actually monitor what's happening in our home from a smartphone. I could go on and on and on. God only knows where technology is heading, but it just doesn't happen for free, and it just doesn't happen because we wanted to. We have to prepare for this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, fortunately for us, I mean, a lot of this innovation is happening here in the U.S., and it's really changing every aspect of our lives, from energy efficiency to, you know, all of the smart houses that are now being built that have a lot of these wireless connectivity issues. I mean, we're seeing projections that, you know, there's going to be, by 2016, there's going to be 3 billion network devices in the U.S., which would be about 9 devices for each of us. So that could be everything from your connected car to your connected refrigerator to the, you know, the tablet and reading device and smartphone that you're holding to your stove that would remind you if you left a burner on. I mean, it's changing absolutely everything, and without more spectrum and the infrastructure that can support all of this, there's just these devices that can't connect to anything.
All right,
so
let me just ask a basic question. How serious is the problem, and is a catastrophe preventable?
Yeah, you know, this is definitely an issue. It's something that we're concerned about, but it's also something that the folks who are running the networks are doing everything that they can to put more money in. They're evolving the technology so that this faster 4G LTE will be, it's more efficient and we'll be able to handle more of the capacity. So they're putting a lot of short-term solutions into place, but kind of the midterm, longer-term issue, it's a concern. It's definitely something that we should be taking seriously, and our leaders in Washington should understand just what's at stake here.
Now, what can we do as everyday people to help out Mobile Future?
Yeah, I think it's important to just kind of talk to your community leaders and talk to your elected officials and make sure that they know what these devices mean to you. I mean, I think, I've seen the stats. I think it's 75% of us go to, you know, have them within have our mobile devices within arm's reach 24 hours a day. So, this is something that that your local officials and the federal officials here in D.C. need to hear from folks. They need to understand that, that wireless is the future, and, we think that this is a really important message that they should hear.
Well, you know, one of my regular guests and happens to be listening to the show this morning, and he just tweeted, as a mobile blogger, I can tell a powerful story about the need for reliable broadband. And Chris, if you can call in the next 20 seconds, we'd be happy to hear it, but we're almost out of time. Obviously, Allison, this is an issue that's going to resonate with people, and that's why, yes, it actually is a political issue. I was going to say it's not a political issue, but it is a political issue, and it's certainly a very personal issue. And talk about a nonpartisan issue, Allison. It doesn't get any more nonpartisan than this.
Right. Across the board. I mean, you know, President Obama really showed some clear leadership here, but there is support everywhere. You can't argue with the fact that we're running out of, you know, spectrum, that we need more, that mobile is a really huge engine in our nation's economy. And, you know, at a time where other sectors have really been struggling, we've seen significant, consistent investment in mobile and wireless technologies. And this is where our nation is headed in the global economy. This is, you know, something that's connecting us to whether it's customers around the world or whatever else it might be. I mean, this is something that there is broad support for, and now we just need to figure out how to get this done and how to make more spectrum available for mobile and you know, make sure that all these devices continue to connect.
All right. Well, listen, Allison Remsen, we're just out of time for today. I first loved you because of David Bonnier. Now I just love you because of you. So you were great.
Thanks,
Tony. Let's stay connected. Let's keep us updated on this issue because it's something that, you know, it does really matter to me. I've got all this wireless technology that drives this program. And this matters. It matters to a lot of people. Thanks so much, Allison. I really appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
All right. Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, Jessica Tremontana with the Progress Michigan. That's who she's with. And we'll get to all that after the top of the hour news.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Got a new hot spot on your drive. Let's head over to M14 eastbound as you approach 275. Accident has your right two lanes blocked, and that's causing stop-and-go traffic from Beck Road. And traffic is getting by in the left lane only. Still, that accident on 75 southbound at McNichols that has your right shoulder blocked. And we got heavy stop-and-go traffic on U.S. 23 southbound between Silver Lake Road and Barker Road. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 59 with clear skies in the late afternoon. Tonight, a low of 50 with a light drizzle. Tomorrow, 70 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 46 degrees. Outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
Tonight, President Obama and Mitt Romney square off in a town hall-style debate at Hofstra University in New York. And NBC's Chuck Todd says the outcome could be huge in a tight race.
For Mitt Romney, a second straight debate win could mean he's finally able to break the president's stranglehold on states like Ohio and Wisconsin. For the president, a big win could reset the race back to where it was before the first debate.
56 million Social Security recipients find out today how much their checks will increase with the cost of living adjustment. Expect just a slight bump. There have been several arrests at a British hospital treating that 14-year-old Pakistani girl who was shot in the head by the Taliban for daring to speak out about women's education. And a new study finds a little sleep can go a long way toward helping school kids focus on the task and avoid temper tantrums. Just an extra half hour a night can make a big difference. This is NBC News Radio. A bullish beginning to the week for Wall Street. CNBC's Mary Thompson says Amazon.com has some good news for the economy.
Ahead of the all-important holiday shopping season, All Things D reports that Amazon will be hiring 50,000 temporary workers to make sure your packages get shipped by Christmas.
The Dow coming off a 95-point gain, stock futures point to a higher open. Japanese tech giant SoftBank has agreed to buy 70% of Sprint Nextel for $20 billion, adding clout to the third-largest wireless carrier. Airfares are taking off again. Southwest sparking what could be the seventh industry-wide fare hike this year, boosting round trips $4 to $10. And finally, a way to determine which candidate is more full of it. A Texas firm is selling Booper Scooper bags emblazoned with the faces of President Obama and Mitt Romney, offering a chance to cast your vote and your doggies, too. I'm Jim Mikliszewski, NBC News Radio.
Here at Hotels.com, we only do hotels. If you want a romantic suite, a view of the sea, or even a room made of ice, ask us. We'll find it.
Well, can you do anything else? Like yodel? That was different.
Like I said, we know what we're doing when it comes to hotels. In fact, we have over 150,000 hotels worldwide.
Hotels.com. Finding you the perfect place is all we do. Check out amazing deals in Chicago, Indianapolis, and Washington, D.C.
The Home Depot has a new lower price on Owens Corning EcoTouch R30 15-inch insulation. Now just $11.87 a roll. It's softer and a lot easier to handle. And the new lower price? Well, that's a lot easier on your wallet. For a better insulation job, start with better insulation. Get your hands on Owens Corning EcoTouch, now only $11.87 a roll. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
This morning we get a report economists hope is not too hot. Retail inflation. In the coming hour, we get the latest on that. The government's consumer price index expected to be higher, especially following last week's reading of September producer prices, showing a higher reading on fuel costs. The cost of petrol is one of the factors in the airline industry's perpetual game of price chicken. Several times this year, one airline would hike fares to offset fuel costs, and the other airlines would not follow suit, meaning the carrier would have to cut its fares back. This time, website Fare Compare tells the New York Times rivals probably will go ahead and match Southwest's $10 round-trip hike that it launched last Friday. Big rally for some stock markets in Asia today, such as Tokyo's Nikkei, which was up 1.5%. European markets are rising about 0.5% each. This as reports say Spain is nearing a financial rescue deal with the Eurozone. S&P futures up 7 points, NASDAQ futures up 14. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Live tonight at 7, CNN's Candy Crowley moderates the presidential town hall debate.
You've got two presidential candidates and such an important decision for voters to make.
After the first game-changing presidential debate, it's the people's turn to ask the questions. And one moment could change the course of the election.
You never know until it happens. It's what makes the debates great.
Barack Obama, Mitt Romney, CNN's Candy Crowley moderates the presidential town hall debate. Live starting at 7 Eastern tonight on CNN.
CSX trains are the most cost-efficient way to move goods to market. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Neuroman, one of our vendors, just called.
That's nice, Mr. Burnwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Neuroman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
When I heard Wells Fargo was giving their customers a free credit score, I figured I'd stop in.
It's part of our limited-time promotion. We'll give you a personal access code so you can obtain a free credit score and complimentary credit report. We can also talk about your credit score and how it impacts you.
Good to know.
Stop into Wells Fargo from now until November 15, 2012, and ask a banker about how to get your personal access code to obtain a free credit score and complimentary credit report. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. See a banker for specific promotion details.
An idea, a thought, born in Dearborn, the product of hard work, teamwork, pride, put in the hands of the people,
for the people,
and made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Trujillo.
And welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, October 16th, 2012. Another great hour of radio coming your way. A little bit later on in the hour, a little bit later on at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking with Lauren Furnaugh. You know her quite well, although you don't know that you know her quite well. She is currently doing a commercial in support of the three democratically nominated Supreme Court justice candidates, judges Connie Kelly and Sheila Johnson, and Dean of Clinical Law at University of Michigan, Bridget Mary McCormick. Her daughter, Lily, was murdered, and through her experience there, she is in pursuit of real justice. It's a heartbreaking story. I gotta tell you, I've had a real hard time emotionally dealing with this, but I think it's important that we hear from her, and I look forward to having her on a little bit later on in the show. But before we get there, we've got another important discussion to have, and joining me now from Progress Michigan as our friend, the communications director at Progress Michigan, Jessica Tremontana. And Jessica, it's a pleasure to have you on the air this morning.
Good morning, Tony. Wow, that sounds like a really powerful interview. I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Yes, well, as certainly somebody that is a fairly new mommy, you can only understand the pain that this woman has gone through. You know, I have three wonderful children, and my heart just really goes out to her. But we'll get to that a little bit later on. All right, I'm going to ask you to put on your Swami cap for a moment, Jessica, and look into the very near future. I don't know, about 9 to 10:30 this evening. And let's preview a little bit tonight's debate. We were talking about it earlier this morning. You're a smart person. What do you think's going to happen tonight?
You know, I like to think that I'm a smart person, so thanks. But,
well,
you know,
I know you're a smart person. I've talked to you lots of times.
I think people are really thirsting from, you know, especially watching Joe Biden in the debate. You know, that a lot of people say either one side of the aisle or the other, that he came out too strong, that, you know, he was overly aggressive. Some argue he was disrespectful. I don't think so on any account. I think he was passionate. I think he was well-informed. I think that he was pointed. And I think every single argument that Ryan brought to the table, Joe Biden shot down. And I think people are thirsting to see that from the president.
Well, I don't disagree with that. You know, just very quickly back to Biden. I thought Biden was Biden, Jessica. He's no different than he always is.
I absolutely agree. But, you know, it was so refreshing because so many people watched the presidential debate, or the first one, with Obama. And, you know, it literally left me just longing for more. Like, where's the passion? Why aren't you telling him, this is inaccurate, you're lying, this is wrong? You know, I think a lot of people were just dying for him to counter some of these arguments that were just plain inaccurate, and they didn't get it. So I'm really hoping that Obama comes out swinging today.
Well, he has to do something. As we were talking earlier in the program today, I actually think Mitt Romney has more at stake tonight than the president. The president will improve. He will improve on the last debate performance. What does Mitt Romney do, though, Jessica? What does he do? I mean, if he turns the volume up a little bit more, he'll be yelling. If he tries to be more dramatic, it'll look very dramatic. I don't know that this is anything but a lose-lose for Mitt Romney. I don't see how he does better. I just don't see how he can.
I absolutely agree. You know what? I think that a lot of people were impressed with the first debate, and I think that was only because you've never seen him really have any type of solid personality to be strong. And I think so many people are like, wow, he won this hands down. And I don't think he necessarily, you know, wowed everybody as much. I think everybody was expecting nothing. And when he gave them something, they were really impressed. Now, that said, I agree with you. I think he's really set himself up in a lose-lose situation. Because, I mean, when you think about what does he have to gain? I don't think really that much.
No, he really doesn't. So it'll be interesting to see what does happen as they work their way through this debate this evening. And, of course, it's a very different format, Jessica. It's a town hall setting. The questions are coming from the audience. There has been some controversy that the moderator, Candy Crawley, is not going to follow the rules that were set in advance because she's not supposed to ask follow-up questions or any of her own questions. And she's really, at this point, not promised to follow those rules. So this could get really interesting.
I think it is going to get interesting, but, you know, I'm intrigued to hear what the people want to hear. You know, when you open up the town hall debate, are you going to have legitimate questions from the people? And hopefully you do. And I think that one arena that Obama can wholeheartedly school Romney is in any regard to Medicare. And I really want to hear about foreign policy. I think that's something that they've kind of, you know, waffled back and forth on, and I'd really be interested to hear what they have to say.
Well, I, and I do know that the moderator, again, Candy Crawley from CNN, she gets to choose the questions. So the questions are submitted, and for those that aren't aware how they're doing this one, Gallup organization chose the audience from undecided, technically undecided voters, and so that's who will be in the audience tonight. Everybody that's invited was able to, put a question down on a paper, and then she will go through the questions and decide. There should be anywhere, they said, between 12 and 14 questions that will be asked throughout the evening. So it is a very different format than the first one. And here's what I know is going to happen, Jessica. If Mitt Romney does poorly, they're going to say, well, you know what? It was a different format. In the old format, this is not his thing.
Oh, there's always an excuse. I mean, come on. You know, no matter what happened, I mean, everyone said that, you know, Obama didn't come out strong enough, that he was this, that he was that. And, of course, the Republicans paint that as him being weak. Now, Biden does the polar opposite, as you said, acted like himself, came out strong, was informed, countered every single thing that Romney threw out there, yet he was portrayed as a bully. So I really feel like the Republican spin masters are going to do their work and do what they always do and somehow paint, you know, misconstrue what really happened.
Well, ultimately, we do know one thing. It's going to be about what the people think. And if the last presidential debate is any indicator, we're going to be very busy tomorrow morning on this program. We took calls all morning long, mostly because people were obviously stunned by the president's performance, as was I. Because it was uninspired. There's no question about it. It doesn't really matter why it happened at this point. As we said immediately after that, there are two more. At the end of the day, do these matter? Yeah, they do matter, Jessica. It does matter. These debates do matter. Whether people want to put weight to them or not, they matter to people.
I just want to see the passion. You know, I know it's in there. I'm not sure why he didn't come with that armed with the first debate. And like you said, it's water under the bridge. So at this point, looking forward, I really hope he comes out swinging today.
Well, as do I, and we'll look forward to that again. As Joe would say, go to your favorite network and watch it, and then you decide, and we'll talk about it tomorrow morning, very much looking forward to that. Well, listen, before we get to the break here, let's get started on this conversation now, and then we'll jump back to it. I want to talk about somebody that's picking on my buddy, Mike Huckleberry. And Mike and I have been friends a long time, Jessica. He's running for the state house. I originally met him back in 2003 when the Electrolux plant was getting ready to close. He owned a restaurant bar in that area, in the Greenville area. You're not going to meet a nicer guy. You're not going to meet a more passionate Democratic activist. I mean, he's the real deal. And he's being picked on by somebody that, it's that old saying about throwing rocks at glass houses, talking about Representative Rick Outman.
Yes. You know, Rick Outman really needs to stop with hypocrisy and come clean with the voters. So, you know, Progress Michigan is basically calling on him to stop his politically motivated attacks. Basically, what he's doing is he's slamming Huckleberry for not paying taxes, and basically he's painting him as irresponsible. Yet what Outman doesn't want the voters to know is that he also had $21,000 in unpaid taxes. Now, we just checked with the Montcalm County Treasurer yesterday, and it sounds like Outman just literally this month squared up and finally paid his taxes. But the point is that he is basically being a complete hypocrite. He was in the exact same boat. And I have an uncle who lives in Six Lakes. I understand how financially strapped Montcalm County is. They had a big factory pull out. Everyone's facing unemployment. Really tough time. So, you know, it's one thing to go through it, and I really think that helps Huck relate to the voters. But for Outman to slam him for something that he went through himself, to me, is really absurd.
Well, it is absurd, and it's hypocritical, Jessica. You know, the challenge is, okay, well, I'm glad that he paid, but why did he pay? You know, this takes me back to the Jace Bulger conversation we had either last week or the week before. And you know, you begin to ask yourself when they are forced, they only pay when they're forced to pay, which means it does cost taxpayer services. It really does. I mean, you know, we're all expected to pay our taxes on time. I'm not perfect. I've had challenges. I've been late before. I get it. But when you only do it because you're forced to do it, what does that say about you as a business person, as a citizen, for God's sake?
Absolutely. You know, Jace Bulger, he also had a history of unpaid taxes totaling more than $100,000. And he also was facing a lawsuit by Wachovia Banks that alleged fraud and embezzlement. Now, he settled that, but I think the even broader question is, what does that say about you if you are painting your opponent in a negative light when you are facing the same struggles. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Jessica, hold on. I'm going to ask you to hold that thought. We got to get to the break. Jessica Tremontana is my guest. She is, of course, communications director at Progress Michigan. You're going to find them online at progressmichigan.org. Everybody stay where they're at. Feel free to join us if you've got something on your mind. 888-552-3595. I am Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Taking that rush hour commute, we just picked up a new accident on 75 northbound just before West Road. It's blocking your left lane with stop and go traffic from Gibraltar. You're still watching that accident on M14 eastbound as you approach 275. It's blocking your two right lanes with stop and go traffic from Godfredson, and traffic is getting by in the left lane only. Now we got heavy traffic on 94 westbound between 8 Mile and Gratiot, and more heavy traffic on US 23 southbound between Silver Lake Road and 8 Mile. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 59 with clear skies in the late afternoon. Tonight, a low of 50 with a light drizzle. Tomorrow, 70 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 46 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
From her first moments as mayor, Janice Daniels has repeatedly disrespected the city of Troy and its citizens. During her swearing-in ceremony, she blatantly refused to take the oath to uphold the city charter of Troy. Justifying her actions, Mayor Daniels declared the city charter to be a whimsical document. She embarrassed the city's proud history and those public servants who came before her. She further embarrassed the city of Troy and made national headlines with her derogatory and inexcusable comments targeted at homosexuals and the LGBT community, forever linking the city of Troy and its diverse population with this kind of intolerance. Her extreme agenda influenced her voting against expanded funding for the city library and the building of a federally funded transit center, ignoring a large bipartisan majority and the direct endorsement of Governor Rick Snyder and the wishes of the Troy Chamber of Commerce. She repeatedly used her deciding vote to ignore what was best for the city of Troy. And if Janice Daniels doesn't represent you, vote yes to recall her on November the 6th.
We want to hear from you. Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock, Jessica Tremontana, my guest. She's the communications director at Progress Michigan. We were talking before we went to break about my good friend Mike Huckleberry. We know him as Huck, which is why Jessica referred to him as Huck, because anybody that knows him knows that that's who he is. You know, we're talking about an incredibly decent guy, and when we talk about his opponent criticizing him for, you know, something that he was literally, personally going through himself, you would think at the very least you'd want to stay quiet about it.
Yeah, you really think he would, but for some reason he thinks he's above the rules. So that's why Progress Michigan is getting involved. We're calling on him to come clean with the voters and basically stop these politically motivated attacks. So let's break down the laundry list of taxes that Altman literally just paid. I mean, we're talking, according to the county treasurer in Montcalm County, he just paid in October. So he had literally taxes totaling almost $22,000. So we're talking about a serious chunk of change here. It wasn't like he was a couple hundred dollars behind. I know, like you said, so many of us have faced financial struggles or run just a little bit behind on payments. But, I mean, Altman literally had he faced a forfeiture of property, so basically, you know, a foreclosure, because of $3,277 in non-payment of taxes. He had a notice of a federal lien totaling $16,225. This is back in 2009. We also found paperwork from the 77th District Court. It was another notice for a lien, and the balance on that was $5,873. He also had a state income tax lien for income taxes that he owed, $2,492. And this is back in August of 2007. So, again, we're not in any way slamming him for having the same type of financial troubles, but what we're saying is stop the hypocrisy, stop playing these games, stop painting your opponent in a negative light when you were or, you know, are facing the exact same struggles.
You know, you would think at some level, and I don't know, maybe just because I'm a more compassionate person, Jessica, but you would think at some level he would have, you know, gone privately to Huck and said, hey, listen, you know, I know you've had some challenges. I've had some challenges, too. Let's be hands-off on this issue. But instead, he decides to do the exact opposite. Did he think that nobody was going to look into his background? Did he think that he was just going to be able? And he obviously did. He probably thought nobody would ever dig into his background.
I think that's exactly it. And you know what? I think this raises some really important questions. I mean, these are tax bills dating back to, 07. That's more than 5 years ago. And all of a sudden, he squares up on all of these bills in October of this year. I mean, that is very skeptical to me. Now, I cannot prove that he, you know, got money from any source or anything like that. The only thing I was able to discern from the county treasurer is that he paid these off. But it seems very sketchy to me that he's calling out on his opponent for doing the same thing that he was dealing with, and all of a sudden, after struggling for years, they're paid off.
All right. Well, let's be reasonable for a second. Let's stop and think about that. It's October 16th, Jessica. It's not October 31st. It's not December. So this has happened within the last 16 days.
Yep.
Did he pay off just his property taxes? You know, do we know that he paid off his payroll taxes? You know, do we know all that? Do we know what he's paid off or just the county stuff?
I just know the county stuff.
All right.
That was what I was able to determine.
All right. And some of this stuff is privileged information that you're not going to be able to get, and that's fine. There's a reason why it's privileged. My point is, he may not be totally caught up here, Jessica. So even if he thinks that by paying off public record, that what you can find by public records exonerates him somehow and allows him to continue to go after Huck is ridiculous. Because I want to know, okay, you paid it off. Where did the money come from? Because he certainly didn't come from his salary. He doesn't make that kind of money. I know how much these guys make. They don't make enough money unless he's, you know, paying $300 a month for rent, and that includes utilities. Where the hell did he get $21,000?
I don't know.
I don't know. Well, it is an important question, and of course he's not going to answer it, but it needs to be asked, and it's just it's unfair. Listen, I don't think Mike Huckleberry's hiding from anybody, is he?
No. And, you know, I think if anything, this kind of helps him really get a flavor for the people he wants to represent. You know, he used to be a state rep. He's a wonderful person who's very compassionate. And I think so many people in that area are facing struggles, and he knows the struggles because he's faced them himself. You know, what we're only saying is for Altman to stop being hypocrite because he's faced those same struggles.
Well, again, it's not like this is the first time a politician has had financial difficulties, so it's not like it's even that big a deal.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, that's the insanity of this. There are lots of politicians that have had financial difficulties. There's a lot of reasons that happens. There's a lot of reasons that are so out of our control that we end up in financial difficulty. Is it Huck's fault that Electrolux closed and that affected his business? No.
Nope, absolutely.
Oh, I'm telling you, Jess, there are just days where I just go, come on, folks, let's just be honest and reasonable, but we're talking politics, and honesty and reason really never seems to go both ways, and that door should swing both ways, but it rarely, rarely does. Well, I want to remind people, as I try to do every week, that Progress Michigan is a grassroots organization that is funded by people like you and I. That's right, I give... Oh, big deal, $25 a month, but it's what I can afford, so I'm happy to do it. I'm going to ask all of you, if you go to progressmichigan.org, there is a donate button there, and if you've got $5, they'll take it. If you've got $500, they'll take it. I'm just saying you need to help support the work that they're doing because it's critically important work, and Jessica and Zach and Chad and Joshua and everybody else. I don't know if you know, Joshua and I are fraternity brothers. Did you know that?
I actually did know that, and, you know, I it's so funny how small the world works. But, yeah, he's great. He's very talented, and, you know, we really appreciate your support. It's the grassroots supporters like yourself that really help us to make a difference. And, you know, all we're about doing is trying to hold legislators really accountable.
That's right, and I'll remind you, folks, they go after, they keep Democrats as responsible as they do Republicans. It's just Democrats seem to be just a tad more honest. Just throwing it out there. Absolutely. Jessica, thanks so much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you. All right. Jessica Tremontana with Progress Michigan. And I got to tell you, this hypocrisy just is astounding. And there are conservatives out there right now going, what's the big deal? You know what? That's the point, is it's not a big deal. So don't make it a big deal. I mean, how difficult the challenge is that? It just really, really grates at me. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. So why don't we go ahead and do that? When we come back, Lauren Furno will be joining us, and very much looking forward to that interview. In the meantime, stay where you're at. We've got 90 more minutes of really compelling radio, including in the next hour, State Rep John Alumba, who is telling Mayor Dave Bing, I got your number. Good stuff. We'll take the break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Negative rush hour commute. We just picked up a new accident on 75 northbound just before West Road. It's blocking your left lane with stop and go traffic from Gibraltar. Still watching that accident on M14 eastbound as you approach 275. It's blocking your two right lanes with stop and go traffic from Godfredson, and traffic is getting by in the left lane only. Now we got heavy traffic on 94 westbound between 8 Mile and Gratiot, and more heavy traffic on US 23 southbound between Silver Lake Road and 8 Mile. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 59 with clear skies in the late afternoon. Tonight, a low of 50 with a light drizzle. Tomorrow, 70 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 46 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Organized labor and the right to collective bargaining is under direct attack in Michigan. It's been under direct attack in Wisconsin, and we've seen what has happened there. And it is of crucial importance to protect collective bargaining in Michigan and make it illegal for the legislatures in Lansing to take that basic right of workers away from us. My name is Kylie James. I work at Kroger in Birmingham, and I am the United Food and Commercial Workers.
Union members across Michigan know what it will take to protect working families. Vote yes on Proposal 2.
As we know, the government can't do anything right. We know this not only because a menagerie of right-wing media yackers and anti-government politicians ceaselessly bleat this message at us, but also because it's often echoed by such basso profundo media voices as the New York Times. For example, the Times recently went after the U.S. Postal Service, a favorite target of political forces eager to privatize our nation's mail agency. Distress deepening postal service defaults, screeched the headline, with the article's opening sentence assailing the hapless agency for sinking deeper into debt, having missed for the second time this year a deadline to pay $5.6 billion for its future retiree health benefits. This reinforced the right-wing claims of gross bureaucratic inefficiencies, suggesting that no private corporation could stay in business if it was so slipshod. But wait, while the Times did the who, what, when, and where part of this story, it conveniently evaded the crucial question of why. The unmentioned truth is that in 2006, the forces of privatization got Congress to shackle our post office to an absurd requirement that it must, by 2015, set aside funds to cover the health benefits of all workers who will retire in the next 75 years. Hello? That includes workers who are not yet born. No corporation could or would shoulder such a crushing burden. Yet our corporatized Congress has piled this multi-billion dollar set-aside on the back of this public service, demanding that the huge sum be paid out of current postal revenues. This is Jim Hightower saying, this Enron accounting in reverse forces the Postal Service's books to look bad when they're not. It's a deliberate effort to bankrupt an invaluable public asset so it can be cannibalized by privateers. That's the big news that the Times missed.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo.
But in the past, Governor Romney has said he just wants to repeal Dodd-Frank. Roll it back. And so the question is, does anybody out there think that the big problem we had is that there was too much oversight and regulation of Wall Street? Because if you do, then Governor Romney is your candidate. But that's not what I believe.
On 1310 WDTW.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
After my daughter Lily was killed at the hands of a child abuser, I vowed to spend my life protecting children. I know how important it is to have judges who protect them too. For years, Michigan's Supreme Court has turned its back on victims of sexual assault and abuse. But Supreme Court candidates Connie Kelly, Sheila Johnson, and Bridget McCormick are different. With zero tolerance for violence against children, these three protect families.
And, of course, we've all seen that commercial over and over and over again, and it breaks our heart to see that. Joining me now is the person behind that commercial, Laura Furnaugh. And I've got to tell you, Laura, first of all, thank you for being with us this morning. I'm having a really difficult time emotionally doing this. Yesterday, I cried. I just want you to know that I care.
Well, thank you so much for having me on here and for caring. That's what our purpose is to make people care and realize that this does happen.
Well, you know, when I was quite young, actually, my mom and dad were foster parents, and we had lots of little ones through our house. Many of them were abused. My oldest sister is now a foster parent, and I still see that those problems have not gone away, Lauren, and of course the tragedy that you have been through just breaks my heart. I'm fortunate to have three beautiful young men now that are my children. I'm blessed that I've got lots of young children in my family. I'm just really into being a parent. I can't imagine the horror this must have been for you, Lauren.
On November 20th, 2010, my world ended. You're not supposed to bury your children. But it's how the hurt never goes away, but it's how you deal with it and how you move on and what you do with your life. My goal is to save children's lives and live for my daughter, and that's what I'm going to do every day.
So let me ask this question. What does that have to do with supporting Connie Kelly, Sheila Johnson, and Bridget Mary McCormick?
Well, after my daughter Lily was killed at the hands of a child abuser, and I vowed to spend my life protecting them, I told my mom that if anybody were to stand up for children, then they would have my vote 100%. And a couple days later, I was watching the TV and saw that these three women were standing up for children, and they had zero tolerance for violence against children and women. And judges need to have open minds when they're in the court, and these three are taking a stand against child abuse and standing up for our children. And that's why they have my vote 100%.
You know, Lauren, you've had a chance to meet all three of them at this point, so we'll be very upfront about that. And I'm going to suggest that you talk to them personally about, you know, being fair, being, you know, open-minded, but more importantly, making sure that justice is served when justice is due. And I would assume that you were satisfied with what they told you.
Oh, yes, completely. And when I met them, they are what they say they are. And they're not just taking a stand for children right now because of the election. They spent their entire careers mentoring and advocating and protecting our children. So I know that they're going to follow through with what they say they are going to do, because with the politics, and I don't usually get involved, but you always hear somebody that's not going to follow through with the promise. But I know that because these three have done it their entire lives, and their entire careers, they're going to continue to do that. And that's why they have my vote.
Lauren Furno, let's also be honest about it. Children really don't have a voice in our society now, and it's really up to the legal system to make sure that they, not only that they have a voice, but that when justice needs to be delivered, that it is served.
And that's the truth. And you find far too often that judges don't listen to children. They say that children make up things or they're not a reliable source. But the average age of a child dying of abuse is 4, and they don't have a voice. So we need judges to listen to children, because I know far too well what happens when they don't listen to children. And it's not fair when you go into a court and judges have a bias right away, and they're not listening to the facts. They're not listening to what's happening, and attorneys aren't listening. And we just need to change our legal system to where children matter, because they're our future. And if we continue on the way that we are, what's going to happen when our children are gone?
Well, that's beautifully said. Lauren, it fascinates me, because as I've gotten to know the three candidates, and I actually know Connie Kelly personally, I've known her for a long time. And I know, especially with Judge Sheila Johnson and Judge Kelly, and then the work that Bridget McCormick has done, both as a private practice attorney and then as an educator, they have spent so much of their professional lives, and I'm not talking about just in the courtroom, outside of the courtroom, making sure that young people have mentors, that they listen to them, that they value them, they continue to strengthen the laws that protect them. And you're right, they have proven over the course of two or more decades that they are up to the task of being Michigan's Supreme Court justices.
And I completely agree. I think that because of the way that they have been over the past two decades, that will just show that they will continue to do that in court. And we need somebody like that to start the chain of other judges stepping up and doing the same thing.
No question. No, let's for a moment, let's get a little technical. I mean, there are a lot of people that are not politically active, as you know, and they don't really know much about politics. They certainly don't know a lot about the Supreme Court. But one of the things that we've talked about a lot on this show, Lauren, that I'd like you to address is the importance of making sure you turn that ballot over, because if you vote straight party line, even though they have been nominated by the Michigan Democratic Party. You will not be voting for them unless you go to that nonpartisan part of the ballot.
That is true. People need to remember to turn their ballots over, and it's in the nonpartisan section of the ballot. And whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, that doesn't matter. Like you said, if you vote straight party, you're not voting for these three women or the other three. But you need to turn your ballot over and vote. If you care about Michigan kids, you should care about this election. And you need to make sure that you vote for Connie Kelly, Sheila Johnson, and Bridget McCormick, because these three have vowed to protect our families. So make sure that you turn over your ballot and select these three.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I appreciate your time this morning. I briefly talked to your mom this morning, so I promised her when the election's over with, we're going to have you on again if you are willing to come back. And I'd like to talk a little bit more about your situation and what you want to do outside of the political spectrum, totally outside of the political spectrum. See if we can help you with your cause, because I believe, Lauren, in what you do.
Well, thank you so much. And that's what, like I said, until I take my final breath, I'm going to save children's lives, because Lily will not have died in vain. She is going to save lives, and that's my goal for the rest of my life, is to be the voice for these children that don't have one.
Well, we're going to hold your hand and take that journey with you, Lauren. That is a promise that I intend to keep.
Well, thank you so much. That means everything.
Well, thank you for your time this morning, and I appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, and you have a great day.
You too. Lauren Furnaugh. You know, what a terrifically tragic story, but what a terrifically amazing person. I read the entire story yesterday as I was preparing for today's interview. I'm sorry, I get real emotional. I don't want to get into the specifics, but there's no excuse. There's no excuse. We need to make sure, you know, not every Supreme Court case is a big deal insurance case. Not every Supreme Court case is about taking away rights. But she's so right. There are judges that are predisposed to the fact that children don't tell the truth, or that they embellish, or that they're drama queens. That's not always true. In fact, I would suggest it's rarely, if ever, true. Anybody that has any interaction at all with the foster care system in this state, as I have, as my family has, you know, at one time years ago, I was on the Oakland County Foster Care Review Board. We met on a monthly basis, and we tried to return children back to their birth parents. That's a very difficult decision to make, because a lot of them, no matter how good these parents may be, just can't take care of their children. And then you get those that can take care of their children but shouldn't have them for whatever those reasons might be. And it's a very difficult position to be in. I see what my sister and my brother-in-law have gone through with the many children that have been through their home, providing them love and guidance and care, you know, coddling and loving a two-month-old or a one-month-old or a six-month-old. Until you've seen a child that age that is already scarred by abuse, you can't fully comprehend the difficulty of that. And Lauren couldn't be more correct. We need to make sure that we elect judges, especially to the highest court in the state, that understand the intricacies of family law. Bridget McCormick, through the Innocence Project and all the work she's done in private practice. We had the judges, we had all three of them on a couple weeks ago. In fact, a couple weeks ago today. And, you know, Judge Sheila Johnson talked about bringing her courtroom into the classroom and making sure that young people had a voice and that they had mentors. Judge Connie Kelly talked about her women, mentoring group for young girls, for preteens and teenagers, and the importance of making sure that they had strong mentors in their lives. Folks, this isn't a game. We're not playing a game here. This isn't about electing the democratically nominated judges to the bench. This is about electing good, solid law people to the bench, and we need to start doing that more often. Let's go open lines for a few minutes, and we'll do that on the other side. 888-552-3595. My love and prayers again to Lauren Fernow. Thank you so much for being with us today. Let's take a quick break. We'll return to First Shift, hopefully with some calls right after this.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
I think this is a destructive way to think. Mitt Romney should be running to be president of the whole country. You don't want to be president of all the country, you won't be elected president of any of them.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen, be heard, take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Got something to tell Tony? 1-888-552-3595. Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, time to punch back in.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before 9 o'clock. Feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. Well, if you're the Romney campaign, you might have a reason to be a little embarrassed today. Paul Ryan, over the weekend, stopped at a soup kitchen to help them wash clean pots and pans. What, you say? Yes. According to a story in the Associated Press, the Ryan family, Paul Ryan, his wife, and his children, stopped by a soup kitchen unannounced on their way out of town. And while they were there, they decided that this would be a great place for a photo op. The problem was, all the people that were going to be fed were already fed. The place had already been cleaned and was cleaned. And they were about to lock up and go home. They kind of bullied their way into this soup kitchen, which is, by the way, nonpartisan, and they go out of their way to be nonpartisan. They were not terribly happy, but they did get a volunteer to unlock the door and let them in. At this point, they put on clean aprons, which, of course, why would they wear a dirty apron, right? And they go about looking like they're washing pots and pans. Let's listen to some audio from The Ed Show on MSNBC.
Meaning not real. Over the weekend, Paul Ryan was on the campaign trail in Youngstown, Ohio. And on his way to the airport, Ryan stopped by a local soup kitchen.
The vice presidential candidate pitched in at a Youngstown soup kitchen following his form at YSU. Paul Ryan helped wash dishes and his children helped dry after lunch was served at St. Vincent de Paul Society Dining Hall.
Hold the phone. That's not the whole story, according to the Washington Post. By the time the GOP vice presidential nominee and his family had arrived, the grits, sausage, donuts had been served. The hall was empty, and the volunteers appeared to have already cleaned up. But that didn't stop Ryan from missing out on a great photo op. As the New York Times reports, the family put on aprons and washed several large pans, though they did not appear to need to be washed, according to a pool reporter. Well, once those clean dishes got another wash, as the Washington Post reports, Ryan was on his way. Ryan did talk to some men who appeared to be homeless, but reporters were not allowed to listen in on the exchange. I wonder what Ryan told those men he talked to. He probably didn't give them much detail on his budget. He probably didn't tell them that he plans to turn Medicaid into a block grant program to voucher Medicare, to slash billions from food assistance programs. Now the head of the Ohio charity tells the Washington Post the Romney campaign ramrodded their way into the soup kitchen. And the Ryan visit has caused him all kinds of grief. Brian J. Antle, president of the Mahoning County St. Vincent de Paul Society, points out, we're a faith-based organization. We are apolitical because the majority of our funding is from private donations. Antle is worried that Ryan's visit will alienate or upset donors, adding the photo op they did, well, it wasn't even accurate. He did nothing. He just came in here to get his picture taken at the dining hall.
All right. So what are your thoughts on that? I mean, you know, Joe, let me bring you up for a second. I mean, it's a cheesy thing to do. Listen, it'd be different if they set it up in advance, which is not uncommon, and that you actually went in there and volunteered some time, which would have been a beautiful thing. Nobody would have had a problem with any of that. But what we found out by this the gentleman Antle that runs the kitchen, that he wouldn't have allowed them in there because they are nonpartisan purposely, and they don't like to even give the appearance of anything political. You need to respect that.
Yeah, because that really could cost them their nonprofit status, really. That whole move could do that. And I mean, I think it's just really insensitive on all angles to them. It was totally greed to make him look good for a photo op, which backfired, as it should have. Rightfully so. And then, you know, soup kitchens, 47% keep word associating in my head.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, I don't think they would have lost their nonpartisan status. But what can happen and what probably might happen, although now that it's been outed for what it was, I don't think the risk is still there. There would be people, especially those that are more Democratic in nature or lean left, that are going to say, no, if you're entertaining people like this, I'm not going to, you know, donate to your soup kitchen. And these places are 100% reliant on donations. They don't get they don't get public financing at all. Everything they get is private financing and donations from the private sector. So, yeah, I mean, this is a serious problem, and I understand why the director of the soup kitchen was so upset about this.
Yeah, he just basically forced his way in there to do whatever he wants with no regard to anybody whatsoever.
And that is the way that it was reported, that he literally did force his way in there. They had knocked on the door, they were told they were closed, and they finally got a volunteer to let them in because they just wanted, in the, you know, I don't blame the volunteer here, Joe, not at all. You know, listen, a vice presidential candidate walks up to the door, he's got this whole throng of reporters and body people with them. Of course you're going to let them in. I don't find fault with the volunteer at all, but to take advantage of a situation. And then the worst part is he puts his kids in the middle of that. And basically what he did was lied and used his children to lie. I find that inexcusable.
Body armor.
Yeah, whatever. I just can't believe this guy. Well, I guess I can believe this guy. Well, I want to remind all of you that are not aware, and that I guess it's possible. We some of us do actually live in a bubble. The debate is tonight between President Barack Obama and Willard Mitt Romney. It starts at 9 p.m. on all of your favorite networks. It should be interesting to see how this one plays out after the last one. I do believe, as I've said twice already this morning, that Mitt Romney has the tougher task here. It is clear to me that he has to be very, very careful that he doesn't go too far in either direction. And I don't know that he's savvy enough to do that. The president has to posture himself differently, has to use a different set of energy. No question that's true. So we need to be mindful that the debate's tonight, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. Of course, I'll be watching in the morning. Let's see. The song of the day, Too Many Dirty Dishes by Albert Collins. I'm not familiar with that tune, but I have a feeling I will be before the day is up today. No question about that. You can see all this stuff, by the way, on our Facebook page. And for those of you that are not on Facebook, why not? Nah, I'm just kidding. You don't have to be on Facebook, of course. All right, a couple quick announcements, and then I'll have all the big ones in the next hour. I want to remind you that Planned Parenthood has a big show Thursday night at the Magic Stick on Woodward Avenue. It's Stories from Life Surprises. Now, we had said that we were going to give away two tickets to somebody that sent us a story, either through Twitter or via email. It just has to be 140 characters. So tell us a true life story, and you can win two tickets for Thursday night's event. More to get to, and we'll get to it all in the next hour. Let's take a quick break here for the top of the hour and get our last hour underway right here on First Shift. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking at rush hour traffic, let's head over to 94 eastbound at 75, where an accident is blocking the right side of that ramp to 75 southbound. 96 westbound before Beck Row, accident has your right lane blocked with slow traffic from the 696 M5 connector. And we still have that problem on M14 eastbound, approaching 275, the accident has your right lane blocked with traffic getting by in the two left lanes. And we got heavy traffic on 75 northbound between 96 and 375, and also 96 eastbound between Milford and Beck Roads. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 59 with clear skies in the late afternoon. Tonight, a low of 50 with a light drizzle. Tomorrow, 70 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 46 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Tony.